The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday, and it's June 3rd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, police said two teenagers are dead after a crash on the Roosevelt Boulevard that sent one car off of the road and into a house. The crash happened just before 11 p.m. Saturday in the southbound lanes of near Stevens Street. According to police, a 17-year-old and 19-year-old boy were in the white car driving in the outer lanes of the Roosevelt Boulevard near Devereaux Street when they collided with another car. The impact of the collision sent their car into a tree before ultimately crashing it into a home on the corner of the boulevard and Stevens Street. Both occupants were ejected from the car. Police said that one was sent into the home and the other landed in the street. Both teens were pronounced dead at the scene. The passenger in the second vehicle had minor injuries. The driver was not hurt and stayed at the scene. Police are still early in the investigation, but believe that the teen's car was traveling at a high rate of speed. Last month, Philadelphia City Council voted to install speed cameras along the 12-mile stretch of roadway, hoping to prevent accidents along Roosevelt Boulevard. Those cameras are expected to be installed by the end of the year. Severe weather brought down at least six trees and left some residents without power in Bucks County last night. Residents said that the rain came down so fast they couldn't see much outside of their windows, but in the aftermath, a lot of damage could be seen. Streetlights were out, a roof was ripped off near Newportville Road, and strong winds brought down at least six trees in the Croydon area.
I was watching TV, and they were bombarding the broadcasters as a racing event with warnings, like very detailed warnings at the speed at which the storm was traveling and all this stuff. And they kept updating it, and we didn't really get anything.
Yeah, they got hit pretty hard in Bucks County. In Croydon, a large oak tree fell into a home. The home was condemned by the fire marshal, as were five other homes in the area.
Yeah, we had two of those small but powerful cells that made
it
in my area.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, did you get the hail?
No, okay, the hail. Right, I saw video footage of Phoenixville, though.
There was like car damage. Yeah.
The Red Cross is offering assistance to these families that are in Bucks County. No injuries have been reported. Hundreds in the area are without power as crews work to make the repairs. Approximately 31,703 pounds of ready-to-eat Purdue chicken is being recalled because it may be contaminated with bone material, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service.
Bone material.
In
bone
my chicken.
Material. In my chicken, no less.
The fully cooked chicken products were produced on March 21st, 2019. The products subject to the recall come in those plastic trays, and they're labeled Purdue Simply Smart Organics, breaded chicken breast tenders, gluten-free, the whole grain nuggets, and then the whole grain chicken breast strips. They all have a use-by date of May 20th, 2019.
Kathy, I know you're very particular about some of the food you eat. Are bones in food, is that a no-go for you? Meat?
Yeah, I usually don't.
Okay, because my son will not, if it's got a bone in it.
Really?
Won't touch it.
And I do know people that are like that as well, that they just, they're not having it.
I mean, that doesn't gross me out, but I rarely eat chicken with bone in it.
I prefer whatever I'm eating, boneless, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I like boneless wings. Yeah, it's just freaking easier.
But it doesn't gross you out if you're eating chicken.
My line of thinking is I'm getting more chicken if there's not a bone in it. You know?
Yeah, I understand. Yep.
Also being recalled are the bulk boxes of Chef Quick breaded chicken tenders and the strips. The recalled products have an EST number of P369 inside the USDA mark of inspection.
Though I've been to a boneless chicken ranch, and it's the saddest thing.
It's got to be. They just lay there.
Blobs of
so sad.
Chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Unable to move.
These items were shipped to retail locations.
It kind of looks like a lump with a beak sticking up out of it.
The recalled items were shipped to retail locations nationwide. Customers with questions can call 1-888-674-6854. In sports this morning. The Phillies lost to the Dodgers yesterday afternoon in Los Angeles. Rich Hill scattered three hits over seven innings, and the Dodgers scored seven runs in the eighth inning on their way to an 8-0 win to complete a three-game sweep in a matchup of the National League's two top teams. The West-leading Dodgers extended their winning streak to five, while the Phils have lost four in a row for the first time this season. Next up is a trip to San Diego for a three-game series against the Padres. Aaron Nola will get the start tonight, and game time is at 10 o'clock. Former All-Star outfielder Jay Bruce has been traded to the Phillies by the Seattle Mariners. Bruce is owed nearly $21 million, the remainder of a three-year contract he signed with the New York Mets last year. The 32-year-old is a three-time All-Star with the Cincinnati Reds and has 14 homers and 28 RBIs this season. In Game 2 of the NBA Finals last night in Toronto, the Golden State Warriors beat the Raptors to even the series at one game apiece. Klay Thompson scored 25 points before leaving with a hamstring injury. Steph Curry added 23, and the Warriors scored the first 18 points in the second half on their way to a 109-104 win. Game 3 is Wednesday night in Oakland. And the Stanley Cup Finals continue tonight with Game 4 in St. Louis. The Boston Bruins beat up on the Blues Saturday night, winning 7-2, and now hold a 2-2 lead in the series. The puck drops tonight at 8 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks a lot, Kathy. Hope you guys all had a wonderful weekend.
Yes.
It was fairly nice.
It was sort of a weekend, a lot of obligations, but it was fun.
Yeah, same thing. Had some stuff going on, but nonetheless, squeezed in a couple of days of activities. We are back in full force. We have a new Word of the Week prize this week. We have four Hershey Park tickets and an overnight stay for four. Pretty cool deal, so listen up for your chance to win. We'll do the letter of the day coming up at the end of today's program, and we'll get you that much closer to getting on board each and every day. And we also, you know, first let's do the coolest teacher. I definitely want to get that done. Over the weekend, we had you vote, and you certainly did. This was for Henderson High School in Westchester. And we thank you for all the votes that came in. And we've got a name to give to you. So let's see who the coolest teacher of the year at Henderson High School was. We are going to go with, and your votes pointed to, Mr., and I'll try to get his name. I'm not the best with names. Mr. Rob Bailey.
Yeah!
Now, the reason I'm not sure if it's Bailey, it's not B-A-I-L-E-Y, it's B-E-I-G-H-L-E-Y. Bailey or Bailey, I'm not 100% sure.
Maybe Bagley?
Well, maybe that he'll tell us. Yeah.
They usually call in.
But listen, dude's on a high because apparently he was named the coach of the year for wrestling.
What?
Yeah. And the story that was sent over came out in 2018, so it might have been at the... I'm not sure when the wrestling season is. It might have been this past season, but nonetheless, the guy is very, very talented in the world of wrestling coaching, and he's a building substitute, and he did wonderful, so it's got to be huge for him. And now this honor on top of that.
Forget it. The culmination.
How about that?
That's what you've been waiting for. Who in academia doesn't want a mug and some crockpot food?
That's right. By the way, Henderson finished, Henderson, the school, finished top six at the District 1 duels, top five at the Southeast Regional Tournament, and send a school record 4 Warriors to the state tournament.
That's pretty freaking awesome.
Henderson finished 15-4 as a team and reached the consolation semifinals at District Duel. So they had a great year, and he was a big part of it, apparently. So, Mr. Begley Beely Bailey,
won't you come home?
Come on home and pick up your coolest teacher of the year coffee mug from the Preston and Steve Show. And also a $50 What a Crock Meals gift card. So we are going to set you up with that. Congratulations. And hopefully we will hear from the coach at some point this morning. Let him know that he won and tell him to give us a call this morning. Now, with that, we need to choose another school. So
I think that honor falls to Kathy.
It does. I'm going to bring the takeout container that has all of the names around to Kathy's side of our mixing console. She's going to reach in, which she's doing. Pulling one out high in the air. It's being held up. And Kathy, what school is next?
I know this school. What? Next up is Abington Senior High School.
Oh! All right. Abington Senior High School. It's pretty easy.
Oh, God, I love you.
And we are going to have you let us know who the coolest teacher of the past year has been. So get on it and text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. One vote per phone number, and we'll give you about 24 hours to do that. Nick, what do you want to point out?
Definitely one of my favorite mascots in the area, the Galloping Ghosts.
And also notable alumni include Bob Saget and my grandfather, Mike Panikowski.
Wow. Yeah. And Nelson Mandela says there.
Nelson Mandela. And Mark Vetri.
Oh, Mark Vetri.
Oh, there you go.
Restaurant tour. That's great. All right, Abington High School, let's hear from you. Text word teacher followed by teacher's name, 39333, one vote per phone number. And by the way, I want to make sure that I did mention that the winner does get the coffee mug and also the $50 gift card to whatacrockmeals.com.
Awesome.
So let's hear about it. Now, something that just came to light this morning that we are going to have to make sure that we handle very quickly because we have a new movie screening and it is this Wednesday. So usually we have about a week to play with these, but this is a quick turnaround and it's a biggie, man. If you're X-Men fans, Dark Phoenix. We have a screening of this on Wednesday and it will be at the UA King of Prussia at 7:30.
This is a hell of a story. This is a hell of a part in the story progression.
Yeah.
When she gets her full powers.
She has the ability to destroy a planet
yeah.
if she wants to. We'll see how that plays out in the movie. So you'll need to be there by 7 o'clock, and let's take 8 callers right now, and we will give you free movie passes to go see it on Wednesday, UA King of Prussia, 215-263-WMMR. That is the number. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. Rolling out the entertainment report, a stupid question, and more giveaways when we return. We'll be right back.
All right, you heard the man, podcasters. We've got a theater to fill. So if you would like to win a pair of tickets to the Dark Phoenix screening, email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com. The screening is this Wednesday, so you got to email right now. Good luck.
Sorry, hang on a minute. I'll explain. Nick stole my trivia questions. They're his trivia questions, but he took them without telling me, and now I'm scrambling to get a trivia question together here. And I have one.
You have one.
I do. And it's for all Keanu Reeves fans.
Oh, we'll count me in.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we're going to give away for the stupid question this morning a 4-pack of Maury's Piers Water Park passes. Keanu Reeves. What does Keanu mean in Hawaiian?
Uh-huh.
I never knew this. Hang on, I'm still writing it down.
What does Keanu mean in Hawaiian?
What does Kunu mean?
215-263-WMMR means Chuck, right?
That's right.
Keanu?
215-263-WMR. Call now. Let's see if we know the answer. You got to get through quick because I only have 3 birthdays.
Oh. Are you kidding me?
That's all I got.
So I ain't got nothing.
Wait a minute. What does that remind me?
It's Officer and a Gentleman.
Yeah.
I got no place to go.
That's right.
I got no trivia questions.
All right. So today is Monday, June 3rd, and 3 birthdays to make you aware of include Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper. We had him here in the studio, yes?
A very well-coiffed individual.
He yes. wanted to come in because he knew we had had David Fastino in.
That yes. is why he wanted to be here?
He knew that we were a legitimate operation.
Did not know yeah. that. Wow.
He laughs like a...
Like a 7-year-old girl. Yeah. Do we have it?
It's like that. I believe.
There's one great extended, I forget what story they were covering, but it was on his show, his 360, and he just went off.
Oh, yeah.
And couldn't get it back.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Okay, here we go.
All right, go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Go for it. Here we go. No.
Oh, wait. Wait.
That doesn't work either.
Oh, my God. They fixed it. Preston, they fixed it.
Is this a Golden Globe winning Tinkle? Now, all I can say is they should thank their lucky stars it wasn't Depardieu.
Here comes.
Sorry. That made me giggle every time I read it. He hasn't commented on this incident. Depardieu. I know you got it, but...
What's worse, that or somebody who's like, ha, 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 ha.
No, that.
That, yes. Yes.
The overdone, that's a legit laugh. When sometimes people just goose it and it sounds stupid.
Well, some people just have a bizarre, loud, in-your-face laugh.
You noticed last week that your laugh has changed.
It's changed. in the past couple of months, I've lost part of my laugh. It's really weird.
You've lost your laughter.
I've lost my laughter. It's not that I don't find things funny. I'm trying to laugh. I'm trying very hard.
I want to laugh.
Not as, so, Dr. Mike, I actually talked to Dr. Mike about it because I have all this, like, post-nasal. I didn't say, dude, part of my laugh is gone.
Yeah.
Kathy's looking at me like, really? You talked to your doctor about it?
Doctor, I'm losing my laughter.
What? I can't laugh.
No, it has to.
I'm sorry. I'm treating a child for cancer. Can I call you back?
I'm busy. Post-nasal drip. It's because I got flammed.
Yeah. I'm reattaching an infant's head. Can I call you back?
No. Yeah. I have a laugh issue.
I'm sorry. This is a major broadcaster in the city. I have to take this.
Yeah.
And you know he does that.
Of course he does.
Not over a baby's head.
It's the VIP here. Yeah. I hate people that, and I don't really hate them, but people that fake laugh at their own little jokes. You know what I mean? They'll go like, hey, you know, just put that anywhere, buddy.
Like you?
Like that's... No, I real laugh at my real jokes.
No, I know exactly, what you're talking about there. The perfunctory laugh on something that they believe. And I get it. I stopped doing this years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's the edict on, here on the show. If it's not funny, don't laugh. But
well, that's just them trying to save their joke because somebody will laugh at it. It'll be them.
Yeah, but so often no one laughs at
him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we used to have this guy that I worked with that he couldn't finish what he would laugh the rest of the sentence. So it would be like, and then this guy came in and just said, "What's up?" And you couldn't understand the last part of what he was saying because he was laughing through what he was saying.
I at that point, I want to have like a sword and run it through their neck because it's so annoying.
It gets to you a little bit.
It gets to me a little bit.
Anderson Cooper is 52. Thank you for helping me flesh out the birthdays a little.
No problem.
Kerry King is a guitarist for. Can you say this word right here, Casey?
Slayer!
Thank you. I can't do that either. I've lost part of my yell. I've lost part of my Slayer scream.
God. You're a mess.
Wow.
He's 55. I know. It's
Dr. Mike, I can no longer scream Slayer. What? I'm sorry. I'm delivering I was delivering a child.
Yeah. All right. And then the last birthday is Ian Hunter, singer, guitarist, piano for the group Mott the Hoople.
I came into the appreciation of Mott the Hoople through David Bowie.
Yeah, because he helped write this song.
Yeah.
Which is a great song, by the way. This is awesome, too. And he did, Ian Hunter did a little bit of solo stuff as well.
Yeah.
So he's 80 years old today.
Wow.
Wow.
I was in Mott the Hoople.
Yeah, that's right.
I was! Shut up. He's in one of... Like Ben Stiller's is orderly in the retirement.
Yeah.
Shut up!
All right, Ian Hunter is 80 years old today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What does Keanu mean in Hawaiian? 215-263-WMMR. That is the number, and I'm going to go to Billy. Hey, Billy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, bud. What's up?
Hey, Billy. Just curious as to what... Oh, I'm sorry. One more time.
Oh, Billy.
We have... Keanu, I need a definition in Hawaiian. What does Keanu mean?
It means cool breeze.
Cool breeze over the mountains.
Did you say cool breeze or cool beans?
Cool breeze over the mountains is correct. So hang on a second, Billy. We're going to give you a four-pack of Maurice Pierre's water park passes all this week. Metro by T-Mobile is giving you the opportunity to win Casey's favorite things. Mm. Hurry now to your nearest Metro store and take advantage of the best deals in wireless only at Metro by T-Mobile. You can see the store for details and terms and conditions.
That prize will change tomorrow.
Ah, okay, so it's going to be different every day.
Yeah.
I think this is a cool idea because you have some really quite wonderful favorite things.
I got a lot of favorite things.
Was him. That was a callback to the
right,
moment ago.
Yeah.
Hey, so before I move on to the entertainment stuff, you want to talk to the coolest teacher?
Okay. Yeah, let's do this.
I want to do that because we made the announcement a little bit earlier this morning. And this is the school was Henderson High School in Westchester. And I'm sure I've destroyed his name, but we'll do our best to repair that. But we have Mr. Rob, I'm going to say Bigley. All right, is that cool with you, or Beagley?
I'm going to vote Bailey.
Bailey? That's what I originally said.
I think you're right.
All right. Rob, tell us how to pronounce your last name.
Beagley, you got it right.
Beagley! Casey was right, actually. Well, how you doing, Rob?
Good.
Congratulations. The students think quite a bit of you and voted for you to be the coolest teacher of the past year. What do you think about that?
That's pretty cool. I appreciate it. And, I'm surprised.
Well, listen, it's on it's on top of that other huge honor of you winning, what was it?
Coach of the Year, man.
Coach of the Year in the state?
No, not the state. This year was for the Chesmont League.
Oh, that's far less impressive.
Stop it.
That's very cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, that's cool, man. And what
thank you.
What do you teach, by the way, Rob?
Well, I'm actually a daily building sub, so I work in a school every day, so everything's a little different, so I get to see different students every day, and then
cool.
Right now I've been working in the video production room.
To be honest, that makes it, I think, a little bit more difficult if you're you know, kind of a substitute teacher and you're not around the kid, you're moving from gig to gig, but as the right. coach and everything, you managed, I'm sure, to win them over. What would you, if you were to pick one thing that you would attribute your incredible decisive victory here to, what would it be?
I don't know.
not a goddamn clue.
I guess for coaching, I guess. Just
okay. All right, the coaching, yeah, that makes sense. A lot of times people who are involved with the sports do get the honor.
Yeah, it's a great school, great district. I work with a lot of great people, and then my guys on the wrestling team are fantastic. So, we work real hard and, try to keep improving.
Hey, Rob, I assume you were a high school wrestler as well, correct?
I was.
Did you have a pretty good record?
I did pretty well.
Okay, nice. Well, you had a great season from what I understand, and you're riding on a high from that. So, what's up for the summer?
We keep going. We actually have wrestling clubs, so we wrestle all entire summer, and then got away on a vacation with the wife and kids, and then got a pool. So
you're all set. You got a pool and a wife and kids.
Nice. Good for you, Rob. That's cool. Right. Well, and now you have a brand new coffee mug. I'm
sure
you're excited about that.
Take that out for a spin.
But we have the President and Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug, and we're also going to give you a $50 What a Crock Meals gift card. All right, my man?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Rob. Let's hear from Mr. Bigley.
Yes.
Coolest teacher at Henderson. And now we have Abington High School that is going to be voting. So we need to hear from students, and you can text who you want to nominate for the coolest teacher of the year. It's very simple to do. Text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. One vote per phone number, so get on that. We'll give you, less than 24 hours now, but the most part of a day. I'm going to go through the box office take over the weekend. Number one was Godzilla, King of the Monsters. They still were thinking it took in less than they were anticipating.
It took in like half of what they are anticipating, but it still took the box office number one spot.
49-plus million, followed by Aladdin, which fell to second. And then you have Rocket Man with a pretty dismal debut.
Yeah.
25 million compared to the other big biopic, you know, which was Queen, the Freddie Mercury
Bohemian Rhapsody.
So people were expecting more from this, but
the reviews are still great.
Came in third, yeah.
Yeah.
Next was Ma. You said there was a really nasty review for that.
Really?
Horrible. They call, Rex Reed gave it like a two-word, miserable insult or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Then in John Wick Chapter 3, Avengers Endgame, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, followed by Booksmart, Brightburn, and The Hustle. So those were the movies this weekend. Some stuff to get to. Robert Pattinson will star as Batman in the next trilogy of films directed by Planet of the Apes director Matt Reeves, according to reports.
So I'm down with this. I got solicited for my opinion many times over the weekend. I think Rob Pattinson's a good actor. I think he's the proper stature. They're going with the younger Bond. And Matt Reeves is a really good writer-director.
So the younger Batman?
I'm down with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Warner Brothers bowed to Reeves' preference after reportedly also wanting to see Nicholas Hoult in the role of the iconic superhero. He could have been really good, too.
He could, yeah.
The studio reportedly met with Hoult and Pattinson Thursday and pulled the trigger on Pattinson, who rose to superstardom in the Twilight saga. I can be seen in the Robert Eggers helmed The Lighthouse. As with all Batman-related decisions that came down the pike, Twitter's reaction was a bit mixed on it. Most recently, Ben Affleck, of course, played an older version of Batman. Pre-production on this trilogy is set to begin this summer, by the way.
Yeah, so. I'd be curious. And I'm down with the tone of what they're saying. At this point, though, we don't know what's going to end up on film.
All right, so how old is he?
Robert Pattinson?
30s, right?
Early 30s.
All right, so I just wonder what...
you know, what universe this is going to be in, right?
Our universe.
Is it going to be Joaquin Phoenix? Is it going to be
on the more Tim Burton comic? Listen, Matt Reeves tends to do very realistic stuff,
right.
So it'll probably be more along the lines of a Chris Nolan.
Is it going to be? But is it its own thing, or is it going?
It's
to...
its own thing.
Okay,
I believe so. Right. I haven't heard anything that it crosses with like the Joaquin Phoenix.
And he's 33, Case.
All right, How many times can we retell these stories?
Here's the key.
What I mean?
If it makes a profit at the box office, forever,
forever.
Yeah. Just please, in this case. We could all benefit from not having the origin story retold again.
Yeah. Game of Thrones fans have Kit Harington's back. Fans of the show created a Just Giving account for his UK charity, Royal Mencap Society, which raised more than $45,000 in about a day. The rally appears to have been a response to reports that he entered treatment for mental health, including anxiety and alcohol dependence. The charity is dedicated to working with people with learning disabilities. According to the fundraiser, it reads, Kit Harington has given so much of the fans of Game of Thrones over the past decade, playing the King in the North, Jon Snow. He absolutely nailed his performance, and we loved every second of screen time that we had with him. And it said, to show our gratitude, the Free Folk and other fans want to contribute to the charity MenCap, which Kit has been supporting for several years. MenCap supports people with learning disabilities to live independent and fulfilling lives. Following the hit HBO show's ending, Harington entered a luxury wellness treatment center in Connecticut. The 32-year-old was photographed walking around Essex, Connecticut, looking fit and happy. So they are helping him out a little bit there. It's a great time for high school students to be getting involved with drama club. Sigourney Weaver had surprised New Jersey's North Bergen High School in their production of Alien, the play. And now, this past Friday night, saw Lin-Manuel Miranda and the In the Heights movie crew coming out to surprise a performance of that musical at New York's George Washington High.
Oh, that's got to be a mind blower. If you're a high school kid,
oh my God,
you're putting on that production and they show up?
Yeah. Crazy Rich Asians John M. Chu, the director of the upcoming film, recorded footage from the audience at the moment Miranda took the stage to bow down to the teen actors. Chu had tweeted out, we start shooting In the Heights movie on Monday. So after our final rehearsal, we took a trip to George Washington High School in the Heights to see them perform In the Heights. Could not be more inspired by these students. Miranda added, it's cool. I only cried 10 times. These kids were so good. Our future is so bright.
These productions are so elaborate and so good. We had horrible high school productions when I was in school. And I remember they attempted to put on Frankenstein. And I remember a morning announcement coming from the English teacher, who was also the in charge of the theater department, basically going, please, these kids have worked so hard. If you could, just anyone who might want to come, let them know, because it means a lot.
You know what?
It was borderline that level of, you know, emotion.
So my kids are not involved in drama at school, but I go to all of the band performances and choir performances, and I love those. I had to go to the play.
I need to
search that out and go do that next year. I'm going to do that for sure.
I think there's a level of ability and execution that, you know, used to not be the case. I mean, there always have been talented high school productions, but now with what they can do just with the technology, it's pretty amazing.
Kiara Ehudes, who wrote the book for In the Heights stage musical and also penned the film script, was also there as well. So the person who wrote it was there.
That's pretty wild.
In the Heights, the film is set for release June of next year, stars Anthony Ramos, Corey Hawkins, Jimmy Smits, Melissa Barrera, and others. The musical takes place over the course of 3 days and follows the lives of the local immigrant residents living in the Washington Heights, in Washington Heights in New York City's Upper Manhattan. Ramos will portray bodega owner Unsavi, originated by Miranda. So they were there for that. That's got to be pretty damn cool. Ravens Gates and Adam Gottschalk are getting married.
Yeah!
The Bachelor in Paradise stars announced their engagement on Instagram.
I love you.
He loves her.
I love you.
Yeah, she loves him. So they
when we met in paradise, and knew I loved you.
And I knew I loved you.
In paradise.
They announced their engagement on Instagram.
Now we live in Kensington.
On Instagram on Sunday, 3 days after Gottschalk proposed
it. I don't think you understand. I love you.
In Dallas, Texas. So she wrote on Instagram.
I love you.
She wrote on Instagram, I'm keeping you forever and for always. We will be together all of our days. Want to wake up every morning to your sweet face.
You know what?
Dot, 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 always.
You in the way?
All right.
Because I love you.
Well, good for them. That of all of them, that Bachelor in Paradise is Three Ring Circus.
It's an orgy on wheels.
It makes regular Bachelor look like Meet the Press.
Yeah. she captioned a series of photos from the proposal along with the date, May 31st. And Gottschalk, he wrote 5/31/19.
Those are numbers. See, I know stuff.
Hashtag engaged.
Oh.
And a diamond ring emoji. So he put a little picture there.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Steven Singer.
He what?
He got my ring.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
The couple found love during season 4 on ABC's Bachelor and Bachelorette spinoff series.
Bachelor in Paradise is basically a weekly orgy.
Yep.
And the most bro-dozerish bros are on that
run. Are they?
Oh, my God.
Yo, bro.
Whole thing.
All right.
Listen, I love being married, but, you know, these stupid, sappy, I want to wake up every morning to your sweet face. Like, dude, I want to smash your dumb face is what I think you get more of.
At a certain point, my wife and I realized,
I don't want to sleep anywhere near your face. Yeah. I don't like the temperature of the room that you sleep in. I don't like to be cuddled.
I don't like the TV on.
You're too hot. I feel like I'm being strangled.
Don't touch me.
You're strangling me, and I'm not a fan of your face in the morning.
I love my wife dearly, but when we came to that decision, it's been wonderful.
Oh, you're
I'd rather get rest. I want to be on a different floor from your face.
Oh, my God. Your stupid face is breathing terrible, terrible breath in my face.
Oh, I don't like your face.
And I hate your face.
Right, I mean, now. I love your face, but sleeping is not conducive, your face, to my sleep.
Yeah. So they're in paradise at home together now.
Yeah.
So, yay. Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez had a great time singing to Ariana Grande with their daughters. The couple took their respective girls, Natasha, Ella, and Emmy. Natasha is 14 and Ella and Emmy are 11. They went to the Ariana Grande concert in Miami.
They don't have kids together, right?
No, the kids are with
dancer guy.
No, the first
Mark
the,
Anthony.
Mark Anthony.
We guys got the collection at Kohl's.
Exactly.
Mark Anthony.
Yeah, that's what you wear, right?
I do, actually. I like the Mark Anthony collection.
The guy knows what he's doing.
And from the look of his Instagram story, they all had a great time. I'm sure you're happy to know that. He wrote, on fire at Ariana Grande concert.
No, I'm on fire!
And captioned a video of his fiance and their daughters enthusiastically.
I had my elbow over a votive candle.
Dancing along to Grande's performance. He later shared a video of Natasha, who just graduated from 8th grade on Thursday, singing along to the pop star's hit song, Thank You Next, writing that she was also on fire.
Everyone is on
fire. Everybody's on fire.
So between the two of them, Jennifer Lopez and A-Rod, guesstimate of the fortune together. I mean, he's got an incredible amount of money, and she does as well.
A billion?
Yeah.
A billion.
You think they got a billion?
Like a billion.
Well, apparently, Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, he is a real estate mogul, right?
Yes. Oh, he's that too?
Oh,
I'm not, you might be right. I don't know.
He had
the biggest contract in sports history for a long time. He doesn't anymore, he's been out of the game for a little bit. Annoyingly, I find his commentary really compelling on ESPN. He's a good commentator.
He's well spoken.
He knows the game really well, and it's I begrudgingly think that he does a good job.
But his real estate.
I hated him as a player, and he's a cheater, and he used steroids, so suck it.
That's true. His real estate is in Manhattan, too. So he's got a lot of loot.
It was quite the night for the family, who looked like they were having a great time.
This is great news.
I noticed. The girls later got to meet and hug the singer after the concert, which the former New York Yankees player also documented on his Instagram story. And then they went out for ice cream after.
Oh, wow.
It's awesome. Yeah. They're so rich, they bought all 32 flavors.
I don't know, but they did go to get ice cream. So.
Who won a blizzard?
Rambo went
to in front of the line. Could you speed it up?
I'm ordering, and I like to take my time.
What are those things that look like gummy worms?
They're gummy worms, sir.
Yes.
Don't make me sound stupid.
Don't make me sound stupid.
I'll bleed you.
Would you like a side of death with that?
I'm going to put some death in a small cup.
All right.
Does Rambo say Jimmy's or Sprinkles?
Jimmy's.
Jimmy's. He's from Philly.
Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Rambo is from Philly?
Wow. No.
No, okay. Well,
Rocky is from out of
space. Rocky is, who is not the same person.
Well, why not make... Do they ever say exactly where Rambo's from?
I don't think
so. Well, he ends up going back to his family ranch, right?
I'm from Chester.
I don't know. You mean in this next movie?
Yeah, but maybe the dad relocated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible. Listen, we could go on for hours.
I mean, it's worth a full show to investigate.
Yeah. Sacha Baron Cohen's 2006 film Borat: Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan apparently was not so good for Pamela Anderson. Cohen finally acknowledged that Anderson's appearance in the last part of the film was cleared with her, or else it would have been kidnapping. In the scene, here's what happened. So Cohen approaches Anderson at a book signing. He hopes to put her in the traditional marriage sack and take her back to Kazakhstan, and things go bad. He said, we did the scene twice, actually. The first time we did it at a book signing, and I grabbed her over my shoulder and ran out with her. No one did anything. And I was like, what kind of fans are these? And the second take drew more of a reaction. But Anderson was accidentally injured in the ensuing struggle, losing a bit of bone in her jaw.
Oh.
As a result of fans trying to stop Borat from kidnapping her. Unfortunately, she lost more than a little bit of bone. When her then-husband Kid Rock saw the film, he flew into a rage. He was said to be particularly miffed at the book signing staged abduction. Cohen said that when he had asked Anderson what her husband thought of the film, she had texted back to him, he's getting a divorce. And I was like, why? And she said, the movie. And I thought she was joking. But wow. Apparently, he was serious about it, and that's when they split up.
So what was...
I don't know any more than that of why he got so angry.
Yeah, I'd be curious to find out.
Who knows? But apparently, it might have been the straw that broke the camel's back.
The whole concept of a...
I don't remember this.
That's how you get your wife. You put her in a sack.
Yep, we're watching the video of it right now. Amber Heard is responding to Johnny Depp in their $1 million defamation suit in new court documents. Heard claims that claims he is lying when he accuses her of lying about physical abuse.
So they're both accusing each other of lying, and
it's the liar liar pants on fire.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Depp's attorney Adam Waldman tells the Blast Miss Heard says that that she will not be silenced. And then remains silent for months as her hoax is buried by the avalanche of evidence. The language these people use.
With honestly, for both of their sakes, just if there's, what is he looking for? $40 million or something like that?
They should both just drop it.
Drop it.
Right now.
Drop it.
Whether
it's hurting both their careers.
One way or the other, they should just go their separate ways. I don't know. I mean, it's...
It's gotten to a point, if she is lying, okay?
I don't think she is, though. But
then, if she's not, then why is he doing this?
Because he, as Preston pointed out a while ago, he believes he's clearing his name.
Yeah.
However, he's not getting work, and things are moving along. So there's enough of a cloud here that nobody... It's not like a straight-up Harvey Weinstein thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even of the same nature.
Right.
But still, there's enough of a fog here where people say, well, we don't know how this is hashing out, so... He hasn't lost any roles from this.
Yeah. So the attorney added, as for her hoax assisting friends willing to perjure themselves for her 3 years ago, where are they now?
Where are they now? And I submit to you.
Mm-hmm. How about this story? Okay. Ending months of speculation, HBO confirms that the upcoming sixth season of Silicon Valley will be its last.
Mm.
Season six will consist of 7 episodes. Mike Judge and Alec Berg said in a statement, Silicon Valley has been a career and life highlight for us. We'll miss it desperately, but we've always let Pied Piper's journey guide the way. And season six seems to be the fitting conclusion.
Have you watched it all the way through?
No, man, I made it through about two seasons.
It's about the same for me. Yeah.
And then they just kept going around and around and around. And I'm like,
Yeah. You want them to win. And
you want them to win. It was you know, one step up and two steps back.
Yeah. No more T.J. Miller, right?
And I got tired.
And no more T.J. Miller.
Got rid of him a while back. Yeah. I just kind of got bored with it, to be honest, which is too bad because I really enjoyed part of it.
Shows make that mistake. And it happened with that show The Following with Kevin Bacon, which we both really enjoyed, Casey. But you got to give your protagonists a win now and then.
Yeah. When they just keep getting their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Yep. I watched. So how many seasons did they say it was? Because
this will be the sixth and then they wrap it up.
So, all right. So I feel like I watched into the fifth season. I'm probably because I have them all on my DVR.
You have a DVR?
I do. I'm sorry. Privileged. Right.
Very privileged. And what's the quality?
It's same thing, Press. They get a win. I was like, okay, here we go. All right, got a few million in the bank. We're good. And then something happens.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. All right, and then, yes, Nick.
You guys want to know where Rambo's from?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bowie, Arizona.
Really?
Yeah, he stated this in Rambo Last Blood, and then they expanded upon it in Rambo 3.
Wait, is that it?
First Blood Part 2, and then later elaborated it on Rambo 3.
I'm from Bowie, Arizona.
Yeah, that was his hometown.
The home of Ziggy Stardust.
Is that really Bowie? I was thinking the knife, because he always had that big-ass knife for them.
Bowie knife. Yeah. He was also born on July 6, 1947.
Ah.
All these details about Rambo we never knew, finally coming out.
His birthday's coming up then.
Rambo's?
Yeah, Julie said July 6th, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
2 days after yours.
Right. And the writer who wrote the Rambo stuff was inspired by Rambo apples, which he encountered in Pennsylvania.
Mm.
So there are Pennsylvania ties to Rambo.
But wait a minute.
Those are the apples with machine guns?
Okay, yeah. I'm curious. I did not know what a Rambo apple was.
No idea.
But apparently they have a machine gun.
I like some Rambo apples, please.
The creator of Rambo apples sailed from Sweden to southeastern Pennsylvania in the Delaware area.
The creator?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a crossed hybrid apple that somebody created?
Maybe.
I'm actually more confused. The more information we get, the more confused I get.
Well, southeastern Pennsylvania has a big time, Swedish vibe. No, ancestry.
Apple? I want it to stop now.
Me too.
Southeast PA, that's here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big Swedish population here?
Well, I mean, settlers.
Rambo
Swedish. Yeah, settlers, if you will. So, you know, the history of southeastern Pennsylvania.
David Besikinen is
sure.
From the Hooters is Swedish.
I thought he's Finnish.
I thought he was Swedish.
Well, we'll have to look that up later.
God damn.
But I think part of the Philly flag is like a nod to Sweden.
Is it?
The official flag of Sweden, yeah.
Of course it is!
There's a Swedish museum.
Look at the flag, you can clearly see part of it's Swedish. Any idiot can tell you that. Get out the flag saying where's the Swedish influence in Pennsylvania. It's right on the flag!
Should just be a big picture of Rambo's face on our state flag.
There's a Swedish museum.
Why did Tom Wolfe push for that?
It's on Patterson Avenue, right at FDR Park.
Okay.
Okay, so buy your tickets.
Yes.
Yeah, you can get them now. One last story.
Okay.
I was going to end it there, but anyway.
If only you had.
The musical based on Sarah Silverman's 2010 memoir, The Bedwetter, is set to debut off-Broadway in May. Silverman and Joshua Harmon wrote the book with lyrics by Fountains of Wayne Adam Schlesinger.
Interesting.
And Silverman will begin previews May 9th of next year at Atlantic's Linda Grove Theater. Opening night is June 10th, 2020, so about a year away from being able to
see that. She has, growing up, dealt with bedwetting for a...
Has she?
Oh, yeah. Yes. In fact... I think it was into her early 20s.
Okay.
She had issues.
Okay.
And it's been a big part of her...
Her routine?
Well, and just her... She figures her psychological makeup. So, this is a prominent issue for her in her life.
Interesting, because she seems to be one of the most confident people.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that... I don't know.
Yeah.
Pissing the bed helps your confidence. I don't really know.
I'm going to go home and piss the bed right now.
Please do. Let's do clips. Documentary Now takes the styles of notable documentaries and applies them to a made-up subject. In this clip, show creator Seth Meyers details why it's a rewarding show to write for. Here we go.
It is so nice and comforting to sit down and write them, knowing that if you put in attention to detail to the writing, it will be exponentially increased by what the directors do.
Was that a fart?
Season 4, really, of Documentary Now is available now on Netflix.
It's actually really funny.
Is it?
If you're, you know, and I know you've seen your share of documentaries, and they lampoon these documentaries in a really dry way. It's
cool.
Some of the stuff's really fun.
It sounds like I would love that. All right, here we go to the next clip. Oops, sorry. My fault. Based on the most infamous nuclear disaster of all time, Chernobyl recreates that chaos that led up to and followed the 1986 disaster. Here, Jared Harris discusses how being on the show has inadvertently made him knowledgeable on nuclear fission.
I'm an actor, so probably not that good at science and physics and mathematics. And luckily, Craig had figured out a way to explain it in a so that it was easy for certainly for me to understand. I got pretty good. I mean, I made sure that I understood what I was talking about and that I can explain how a nuclear reactor works and I can explain what went wrong that night. I understand why it went wrong.
Yeah! Great show.
Series finale of Chernobyl will be on tonight at 9 p.m. on HBO.
His father is Richard Harris. I just looked that up, and he also played King George in the first season of The Crown.
He did, yeah.
But he's a great actor. I had no idea his dad was Richard Harris.
And in this series, he is sensational. It's only, what, five episodes? Six episodes, Chernobyl?
Might be six, yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I got in the entertainment report for you this morning. I have something to give away. A pair of tickets for a live taping of the Comic Book Gurus podcast at the Franklin Institute, hosted by Steve Morrison.
That's me!
Thursday, June 13th at 6 p.m. And after the podcast, and by the way, we'll take, let's take five callers, 215-263-WMMR, and we'll put you on that. After the podcast, guests will get to tour the exhibit Marvel Universe of Superheroes. And you can explore the legacy of Marvel through immersive set pieces, original artwork, movie props, costumes, and other rare materials. It's now open, by the way, at the Franklin Institute. You can get tickets and information at fi.edu. So five callers, you want to go? We'll get you on board. 215-263-WMMR. That is the number. Let's take a break, come back in a moment, and see what we can get ourselves into on this beautiful, cooler but beautiful Monday morning. We'll be right back.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thanks, Kath. Getting near the end of the school year, we have another school that we're highlighting for Coolest Teacher of the Year, Abington High School. So if there's a teacher that stood out to you, text a word, that teacher's name to, the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. And tomorrow morning we'll find out who it is, give them the prizes, all that good stuff. We gave them to Mr. Bigley at Henderson High School this morning. He was happy about that. And Nick just pulled this up. Philadelphia Public Schools last day tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have really, didn't have a lot of snow days, right?
No, this year. It was pretty easy.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that also explains these what appears to be a slightly earlier dismissal for the year. So that's cool.
My nephews were done last week.
And what district are they in?
They go to St. Joe's Prep.
Okay.
If they could wrap it up in mid-February, how cool would that be?
Right?
Our graduation is coming up on the 12th. My son, I still haven't quite wrapped my mind around the fact that he's graduating from high school, on the 12th.
I remember when he was born.
I know.
I mean, for God's sake, stop it.
I've started to see people, friends of mine, post pictures on social media with all these wonderful tributes. And I remember, you know, when you were born and then you grew into this and now it's that. And I'm like, I'm not ready to write all that.
No, you take the other angle. Stop it.
Stop it already.
Stop this with this growing older.
But it's happening. So we're in the throes of all that stuff right now. There was a high school principal who was speaking at a graduation ceremony. Mm-hmm. I don't know the details on this, Steve,
it was Principal Ken DeMoss from Parkersburg High School in West Virginia. And he was speaking to the class, the graduating class. And afterwards, and even during, some of the students started to notice, this sounds familiar. And it turns out they were right. It was very familiar because Ashton Kutcher gave the same speech a couple of years earlier at the Kids' Choice Awards. You remember that speech that he gave?
No.
Inspiring students to, you know, love the first jobs that they have and have a good work ethic, and it'll serve you later on in life. And so people called him on it. One enterprising student took his speech and Ashton Kutcher's speech and cut them side by side.
Okay.
So
is that what we have?
You're going to hear the principal, and then you're going to hear Ashton Kutcher saying the same stuff.
Here we go.
I believe that opportunity looks a lot like hard work.
I believe that opportunity looks a lot like hard work.
When I became 15, I had to get my first paid job carrying shingles up and down a ladder to a roof.
When I was 13, I had my first job with my dad carrying shingles up to the roof.
I never...
Wait a minute.
Oh, no.
That's horrible.
That's terrible.
Well, hang on. Did he say 13 or 15? Because maybe.
I'm sure, yes.
Looks... Well, sorry, Press.
Yeah. Looks a lot like hard work.
When I became 15, I had to get my first paid job carrying shingles up and down a ladder to a roof.
When I was 13, I had my first...
Oh, there it is. It's a big difference. Yeah. You could use that, right?
That's it, yes.
Job with my dad carrying shingles up to the roof.
I never had a job in my life that I was better than.
And I've never had a job in my life that I was better than.
Oh, I was always lucky to just have a job.
I was always just lucky to have a job.
And every job I had was a stepping stone to my next job.
And every job I had was a stepping stone to my next job.
And I never quit my job.
And I never quit my job.
Until I had my next job.
Until I had my next job.
What the hell?
Wow.
So, direct. I mean.
Do you think somebody prepared that for him and handed it to him?
No, he copped to it. He apologized for it. He said he was influenced by it. He should have credited Ashton Kutcher's speech.
Well, change the thing about the shingles.
Seriously.
At least. You know, bring up Preston. Your actual, if you delivered pizzas or whatever it was.
It gets worse because he says, during my time on that 70s show.
No. Oh, my God. Didn't
No.
And when I
I married Mila Kunis, I knew.
Oh, my God.
If you heard this audio independent of the story, wouldn't you think that Ashton Kutcher was the one that stole from the principal?
Yeah. You know? That's just poor. Come on, man.
So he apologized profusely. And but the fact is, there apparently, as it was going, you know, because this was sort of a, there was a big deal made when Ashton Kutcher gave the speech. A lot of people cited it and thought it was very, a very heartfelt and true thing to impart to these kids at the Kids' Choice Awards. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of national coverage for the speech. It resonated. even parents are like, wait a second. Wow.
By the way, we got a text that says, I'm a Philly teacher. We are getting out so early this year because we went back the second week of August last summer. They were trying out a new calendar, but people didn't like it. So we are going back to the old calendar next year.
Yeah, I actually heard that. I think they're going to.
Yeah, they went back really early.
Yeah, they did. They went back before Labor Day.
So that means they're getting a really long summer this summer.
Oh, right.
This year. Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, I don't accept your apology, principal, whatever your name is. Like, that's because if somebody else plagiarized something in this and they got caught,
principal
and they got
DeMoss.
And if they got caught plagiarizing, whether it was a speech or a paper or whatever, they would fail that, right?
They'd get in a lot of trouble.
They'd be getting a lot of trouble. Now, there are no repercussions for him, you know.
Well, he's getting national coverage as a plagiarist.
Yeah,
so
he's still going to be
certainly not
going
to help. Yeah.
He's not. He's probably not going to get penalized any of his salary or executed or suspended any days. And in a few years, we'll all forget about this.
Yeah, but you're right. It's a bad example for especially somebody in that role. Which, by the way, in the bizarre file, I've got like four school related stories that I'm going to lead with right off the bat.
He goes on to say, Preston, yesterday, December 7th, 1941.
Did he? Oh my God.
And that's when people go,
if you get caught for plagiarism in college, you're immediately expelled, right? Like, if it's one of those things where
I believe that's the case.
I don't think I think it's a no tolerance policy. And part of the issue that I've heard over the last few years is that it's so easy to find other people's papers anywhere online. And so people will just rip them off. But professors can use software for, like, plagiarizing detecting software to look into these. You know, if it sounds too good or it's, you know, somebody is like, yeah, rip that off.
I've told you guys about this before. My friend skated through college by ordering term papers in the back of Rolling Stone magazine.
The ads were all over the place. I always thought this was bogus. And then people started to tell me, That's what they were doing. I never did because I was sure I would get caught.
Yeah.
And I just, okay, I'll apply myself and do it and take my lumps.
I just wish I would have known about that.
Yeah.
When I was
it was easier to do that. You know, now, like Nick said, they have software to detect it.
Didn't you have to bang your essay writer?
That was in high school.
That was high school.
That was high school.
Nick, what is it called when a fraternity or a sorority has like
We literally had the records room, like in Fletch, and there was a place where we had, and some of it was legit study guides. Like, you could look at people's research from the past and glean from that, because it's the same subject.
Right.
But other times, it was term papers from past semesters or past years, and people would just literally copy them and plagiarize.
Yeah, there's something that it's called. I can't remember what that's called.
It was the records room.
There were dates, though, as to when they were used, so that you wouldn't use them within a certain amount of time period, and which teachers they were, professors they were turned into.
Stop and think about it, though, Kathy. If you go to the library and you're taking out books or that are reference books to whatever that are germane to the topic you're writing about, you're in essence, you're taking that, you're going to regurgitate it a little bit, you're going to change the wording. I mean, the process is you're going to hopefully learn while you're doing that. It's a variation on the same thing when you're lifting whole paragraphs.
Word for word.
But I did that in grade school. When I had my, I had Funk and Wagnalls or whatever, I would just take...
What did you say?
Funk and Wagnalls, the encyclopedia.
Those Funk and Wagnalls.
That's actually pretty good. I would just paragraph... I
was always so scared. Oh. I was so scared. I had to, and I was a pretty good writer in college, so I was okay writing my papers.
Oh, no, I was
papers.
Talking to grade school.
That, I was so nervous to do that because I would be the one to get caught.
I'm right with you. I was pristine in my approach because I was sure I just knew my luck and I would get caught.
Yeah.
Well, this guy was busted, called, but fortunately it wasn't for a grade. It was just a commencement speech.
Hey, maybe he'll be at the next Kids' Choice Awards.
Since we're speaking about graduation and all things high school, I saw this on, I think I got this on BuzzFeed, 17 words of wisdom that every high school graduate should hear. It was on a Reddit posting that was, what is something that you wish you knew when you were 18 years old, the life advice that people have been dishing out is 100%. So.
Well, this is very relevant now because with tomorrow, school wrapping up here, let's impart these words of wisdom.
Yeah, so here are some things that that people recommended that they wish they would have known when they were 18.
Marry Mila Kunis.
Yeah, if you can do that, probably good. No, here's one that says, and some of them are practical and others are more... lifestyle and mental and so on. But so here's
hair care.
Well, here's a practical one. Don't F up your credit. All right. So it says, somebody said that S is difficult to fix and it lasts a very long time.
Yeah. I've told you guys this before, but my friend Brian Walsh, he would get credit card statements in the mail and literally just throw them away.
Yeah.
And his credit was messed up for years and years as a result.
That's why you had and college campuses were always there'd be the table set up and there'd be these predatory credit card companies in that, sign up.
Offered you free gifts and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, and you have to be careful with that too, because once you open that, a lot of people will forget about it. You actually applied for it and you now have this card. Even if you're not like Nick's friend and not using it, you still have the card.
Yeah.
And, it can affect you.
It can.
All right. Here are some other pieces of advice. Making mistakes is okay. Life is about learning.
It's about getting up.
That's right, too. Words of
wisdom.
It's
not how heavy your debt or interest is. It's about if you divest and invest.
We had an intern.
Financial advisor, John Rambo.
Make sure you're a limited liability company. Are you through?
What, Casey?
No, we had an intern, and she was awesome. Like, one of the best interns we ever had. But she was so afraid of making a mistake that she just asked too many questions. And I had to pull her aside, and I said, listen, you need to be okay with, perhaps making a mistake, and then you can learn from it. But, we can't hold your hand through this whole process. Like, just, choose to do something.
That's good advice.
And stick with it. Yeah. And if you make a mistake, then learn from that. But like,
Me wax the floor.
Now show me paint the fence.
Right.
She works in the industry now, so.
There you go.
Here's one that says, don't feel so desperate to get your life started. So as an example, they said, I washed out of everything, college, the Marines, and a union factory job, because all I thought about was how to be an adult. in quotations.
Yeah.
When I got a job that was part-time and low-paying, I finally excelled to a point where I became a manager and started actually building experience that led me to a real career.
I agree with this wholeheartedly because I think a lot of people place this heavy onus on themselves to, listen, there are things you have to do to start moving along.
Yep.
But I think I always see kids blanch, you know, when you... what are you going to do for the next 50 years?
I know.
Don't worry. You're going to change your mind many times. Go experience things. Know that you're going to change your mind. Know that there's going to be things that are going to affect you where you're going to say, hey, maybe this is something I really want to get involved with.
Yeah.
My brother went to school to become an English teacher, went into the Army, became Secret Service, and then an agent for the Justice Department.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, that's how it goes.
My friends have three kids, and one of them had just graduated from college. She was very determined. One of those go-getters, knows exactly what she wants to do. Work, get everything, do as much as you can. And she's got a really big gig that she's going straight out of college right into. Great. Yeah. Awesome. Other sibling, though, kind of went off and found his way, you know what I mean? Worked a few different types of jobs, and now is doing great himself as well. So it depends on who you are.
To that point, a sage bit of advice is make sure that when you do it, it's something you love doing.
My God.
Because while the money might not be there at the beginning, if you really love it, you will do it well. Chances are you'll do it well because you'll excel at it, you'll invest the time, and eventually the reward will be there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you mentioned money. That was it for me. I wanted to start making money. So like, I started my career right out of college as soon as I could, as soon as I could get a job, because that's what it was. It was, okay, now it's time to start making money.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that I knew that there were more jobs beyond the ones described in the Game of Life when I was playing.
Right,
I thought there was like doctor, lawyer, teacher, and these preset jobs. I didn't have any idea that, for example, a radio producer could be a job out there. You know, so I think if there's one bit of advice that I could pass along is just keep your options open because there are so many options as to what actual jobs exist out there.
You never know. And on a side note, did you hear that question on? Do you know how old the Game of Life is?
No,
it goes back. I do a quick check, okay, because it was a Jeopardy question. The Game of Life once included suicide as an option.
What?
Oh, my
no
God.
Way.
Yes, yes.
Stop it.
So, check on the origins. Oh, the game has been around forever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you
Jeopardy.
Know, I'll just kill myself.
Oh, my God. You're right, Steve.
I'm checking out.
1860. Created.
Wow. 1860.
By the original, by the person, Milton Bradley.
Oh, my God.
And am I correct? Suicide was an option?
Well, I'll look that part up next. Okay. But, I mean,
didn't actually have to commit suicide when you were leaving the game.
No,
right?
No.
No, just your little stick figure character that sat in the car.
But I digress.
All right. Anyhow, by the way, it came out when?
1860.
Were there cars in 1860? Because you remember your little.
It had to be like a buggy.
Like a buggy, I guess. Because your icon was a little car that you put people in. So, all right.
It was originally called the Checkered Game of Life.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. I have a few other things. I want to get to these. We've only gotten to three of them. this one, this is really hard to understand at the time, but it is definitely true. There's always something to learn after a failed relationship.
Oh, yes.
It says,
ask OJ.
Even if at first it doesn't seem like you did anything wrong, retrospection will reveal your own mistakes and failures, as well as others, I think. So, it's really hard to take and really hard to understand, but that is true. You can learn something about yourself.
Try to open yourself up to knowing, to accepting your faults and understanding that you have them, and not bristle at the notion that you could have been the reason a relationship went asunder.
Well,
it's possible.
That's the key is to be, you know, being open to your own faults, because if you could just go through life blaming everybody else for your problems.
And people love people like that.
When I was cleaning my house a couple of years ago, and I came across a couple of papers that I had written in college.
Yeah.
And I had held all this ill will towards this one professor because I thought she was an a-hole.
Yeah.
And then I'm reading this paper, and she had written a note on it, and it was actually a positive note because it was towards the end of the semester. And I was like, it dawned on me right then and there, she wasn't the problem. I was the problem.
Yeah.
The whole time, I was the problem. And, you know, here I am, just like this 21-year-old kid who thinks he knows everything, and the reality was, she was right and I was wrong.
Yep, it can happen.
That whole time.
Here's another one. I like this one. Once you graduate high school, you basically get a fresh start. It says, whatever negative stigma you had in high school, nerd, weird kid, whatever, doesn't matter anymore in the real world. Mm. So, yes, thank you. Ding.
We now go into the bonus round.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I agree with that one, that you can find – your place. And if it was not in high school, you will find your place, hopefully.
And it's so hard to know that in high school.
It is.
Because it's everything that you're surrounded socially in high school seems so incredibly important at the time.
And school F's around with you because I remember, like, I was the big man on campus in first and second grade.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And then we moved. And I kept we kept getting redistricted. And so I always ended up as the new kid in school, and that just wears you down.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, but I mean, God, I was on top of the world in first grade.
Here are some pieces of advice for those who are, this is what people thought they should have known when they were 18. It would have been nice to know. Here's one. It's important to ask questions that you don't want to hear the answer to.
Yep.
That's a good piece of advice. Here's another one. Learn when to give an F and when to not give an F.
That'll save you a lot.
Oh, my God. Yes,
that
it will.
I mean, like a lot of, there are a lot of times where you just, and I look back and go, why did I give a rat's ass about that? Why?
It says, think how things will affect others and put yourself in their shoes. That's one way. That's one thing to consider as well. And then think how things that get you mad will affect you in 5 years and see if it's really worth being angry about. And sometimes that can be the clarity you need to go, you know what? Why am I mad?
Yep.
You know, life is a marathon, not a sprint. It says caring for your body now, protecting your joints, eating well, sleeping, drinking, alcohol in moderation pays off the rest of your life. Don't start waking up in pain in your 30s.
And honestly, only use the meth you make.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can
you
never
don't know
what's tell.
In that
you
stuff.
Do know. You don't know.
Yeah.
Casey, you said many times about cigarettes, like you wish you'd never started when you were, you know, 18 or whatever it was.
And 18.
Was it younger than that?
Probably like third grade.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I wish I never started eating chicken with bones.
Yeah.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Here's one that says it's okay to live the life you want. I like that.
Living your best life.
What's that?
That's like the big thing on the
internet.
The
impression
right
or,
now.
The sentiment?
No, the sentiment. You know. Hashtag living my best life.
I know.
Yeah.
You do you. All those
I don't
other.
Follow. What do you not like about that?
It's just, it's a cliche that I think is a little lame.
Okay. So is it.
No, I think you should live your best life.
Okay.
But you don't have to hashtag it every single time
okay.
you do something cool.
It's okay to live the life you want. This poster said seeking approval from lovers, friends, parents, or anyone else leads you to starting over at 30. So
you can always start over. Unless you're dead, you can always take another swing at it.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one that says, sometimes the way we see people and the way they actually are totally different.
That's completely correct. Yeah. I had an incident a few years ago when I was over in Manayunk. There was a guy, I'd see him and I was walking my dog. We had a little bit of a row one time and, I would have loved to have punched him right in his face. I didn't though. And, later on I found out that he was going through a terrible situation at home. His wife was terminally ill, and we became very good friends after the fact. But if I had the brain to have just considered that was a possibility, I would have not. I regretted that first step, but I'm glad we became friends afterwards.
Understood. Another piece of advice: you're better looking than you think you are. That's pretty.
That's not true in my case.
Well, no, that goes for a lot of people. I remember seeing an interesting piece of video where people were to describe to essentially a sketch artist, their own features,
right?
And they would have them sketch it. Do you remember this, Kath?
Yeah.
Did you ever see it?
Yeah, we should do this.
And everything looked disproportionate and incorrect.
Yeah.
But when they had a friend describe what this person looked like, they were able to accurately draw it. So how we see ourselves as opposed to how others see us is usually way off the mark.
Right. And I've also heard other things like don't waste your skinny years thinking that you were fat. And there's another one.
Yeah, I wish I was as skinny as...
That's how I see me.
Yeah, I wish I was as skinny now as I was when I thought I was fat.
Like, right.
I think a Jackson Pollock is probably representative.
Here's practical advice. Brush your teeth and floss.
It's very good advice.
Dentist visits are expensive, this person says. Yes, that's true.
You guys make fun of me because I use my little flosser here.
During the show.
During the show or whatever. But ever since I started doing it, I have less dental problems.
All right, that's good. You've had your dental issues.
I've had my dental issues.
Well,
yeah.
All you need now is a quip, and you're rocking.
Here's another one. Get relevant work experience. This says if you have a major like nursing, computer science, or accounting, get an internship with related work experience and build contacts that will land you jobs
in
the future.
Sage advice.
Yeah, internships, man, if you can squeeze in the time to do it, in our particular business, it's one of the only ways to get into the business that we work
so
in.
So when we had our 20th anniversary on air, we got a lot of people coming in interviewing us, and they'd always ask that question. What advice would you give people looking to get into the career? Internship.
I think
internship.
I really think it's true. I mean, I know it's true for this industry, but I think it's true in every industry. Like, any way to get your foot in the door anywhere that you're interested in pursuing a career, and if you're willing to work for free. I mean, you know, so many people that I know, myself included, work for free at some point during the day and wait tables at night. There are ways to supplement your income, but interning is the best way to get a job.
Don't get distracted with a job that's going to pull you, well, the money's so good that I'm going to pull myself away from my dream, because I see people fall into that trap.
A lot of people are texting in where we got this list. I will make sure that Nick has it and can post it on PrestonandSteve.com. I believe it was through BuzzFeed, but I got to go back and double check. And it was a Reddit thread. So this is number 14. There's 17 altogether pieces of advice. And this is true. Start saving your money as soon as possible. Stash that cash, man.
And so I got into a time, you know, when I lost a gig and I had my own studio, my little studio set up inside someone else's studio, and things got tight. And, you know, I wish I had socked away more at that time.
Yeah.
Even when you think you're doing, you're doing the right thing, it can come up and bite you.
Begin investing as soon as possible. Like simple stuff, like mutual funds, things that it doesn't take an investor to know how to manage.
Pet rocks. I put all my money into them.
And look what happened. Yeah. You got in too late.
I got in too late.
Yeah. But something safe like that your money will work for you.
It will.
It will actually earn more money.
Interest is an amazing
thing. It's crazy when you think about it, and it's everywhere. You just need to get it in there and let it start working for you. I am an idiot at that stuff. That's why I have a financial advisor to help me out with that type of thing.
And my wife. Yeah. My wife do it. She's smarter than I am.
Next one is, people you love will not be here forever, so show them and tell them that you love them. That's very important.
It is.
This says, spend time with them now because it will be gone before you know it, and I feel like once you're 18, time starts moving really fast, the person had quoted, or was quoted as saying. Two more. Another piece of advice for those who are 18, they wish they would have told themselves this, go with your gut. Value your own opinions more and others less.
You do. Well, value other opinions, but do realize that at a certain point, it's okay to trust your gut. Don't.
Depending.
An informed gut decision.
I think that if you've made several poor decisions, your instincts may be off. And,
right.
And then you may need assistance. But I've fortunately, I think I have really good instincts. It's helped me in the long run. I'm not a very intelligent person when it comes to book smarts. I didn't have very good grades. I'm not really, my attention is difficult to hang on to, but my instincts have served me well.
And you and I together throughout the course of the show, everybody, our instincts about what to do when people would tell us, oh, you should do this, you should do this more. We kind of knew and felt where we should be going, and it worked out. But you're right. If you've had a steady stream of abysmal failures, it might be good to seek out someone else's advice.
Yeah. You've been arrested a bunch of times or something like that. Your instincts aren't. You need to read.
Not good.
You need to maybe go with the opposite of what you
if they're putting
think is a good idea.
Electrodes on your forehead and clamping your hands down on a chair, you've made some bad choices.
Maybe ask for some advice.
I thought you were legit asking Steve, have you been arrested a bunch of times?
Yes, I have.
When you said that to him, you've been arrested a bunch of times?
A ton of times.
Yeah. When I first started with you guys, I was given advice to go to another market and cut my teeth somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then, you know, work my way back into a bigger market.
Really?
I did. Yeah. And then he also said, buy as many fedoras as you possibly could.
Oh, shut up.
And I know who this guy was. And let me tell you something.
Right? Rage.
Doesn't matter, though. Dude's rocking the Caymans.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then one last piece of advice is it doesn't. Now, this is really, I do like this. It doesn't get easier. You get better.
Huh.
I like the way, I do like the sensibility of that, because a big saying is it will get better. And it gets better because you get better, I think, as opposed to, it doesn't mean that life is going to get easier, that your challenges are going to be fewer and less difficult. You just learn how to take on those challenges as you progress in life.
Would that be akin to people distance themselves more because you get smellier?
Maybe, if you just want, yes, if you
need get
people
older,
away from you.
I think, though, I think there's probably something to be said for that you your skill set.
Yeah.
what appears to be, you start to say, you just get good at things.
You learn how to handle
stuff.
You
know how to, yeah, absolutely. And honestly, if you can have, honestly, it goes back to, I think, finding what inspires you, finding what you love, taking the time, knowing that it's going to be tough, giving yourself the leeway to do that. But when you get, I've never heard anyone regret sticking to their guns and doing something they love.
There's an interesting moment in the movie Parenthood.
Yeah.
Which was a great film. Steve Martin's dad, Jason Robards, in this is having a kind of a heart, their only heart-to-heart that they have.
He's just an insufferable curmudgeon.
He is, but he this kind of depressed me, I remember, because I was in my early 20s when I remember seeing, but he goes to him, he gives him some very frank, his perception of life. He goes, it never ends. He goes, you never get into the end zone and spike the ball and do your touchdown dance. He goes, it never ends. And that kind of bothered me when I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
But then this makes it a little bit more clear. It doesn't get easier. You get better. You learn how to take on all these things as you get older.
And if you're lucky, you end up on Bachelor Island.
Oh, my God. And in love.
In love.
Yeah.
Can I add, too, if you're going to college, first of all, go to class. It's really important. And it's better to go to class than it is to sleep in on a Thursday. Trust me. And the second is learn about student loans. Figure out how you're going to pay them back, when you're going to pay them back, what the interest rates are, because student loans can be crippling. And if you can manage them in a productive way, I mean, that goes back to what you were talking about earlier, Preston, about managing money earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very helpful when you're paying back those student loans in your 20s and maybe 30s.
Yep. So anyhow,
I think there was some sage advice.
Yeah, I think there's some good stuff in here.
Yeah.
It's called 17 Words of Wisdom That Every High School Graduate Should Hear. It was from a Reddit user, Robbie Vermont, who had posted it, writing, what is something that you wish you knew when you were 18 years old? And it's some good stuff. So I'll make sure that we get this article and we post it on PrestonSteve.com. You can share it with people who could use some advice like this.
Yes.
All right, with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with many bad decisions that people have made, because I'll have the Bizarre File, and a lot of them are scholastically applied today. I'll explain when we get back, so stay with us. You know what? Not before we do this, though. Dark Phoenix, we have a screening of the X-Men film, which is coming out on Wednesday at the UA King of Prussia. It's at 7:30. You need to be there by 7. Let's get you in the theater. 5 callers, 215-263-WMMR. We'll take care of you, and we'll be right back. Hey, gang, we need your blood. It's time to roll up your sleeve for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve blood drive, Saturday, June 15th.
Last year was the second largest blood drive in the nation, and with your help, it'll be number one this year.
So we're headed to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks for this year's drive, with kids' activities from Aim High Studio and Paint a Treasure Ceramics, plus Rita's Water Ice and Alex's Lemonade Stand.
The Red Cross is always in need, especially leading into the summer months, so make an appointment now at WMMR.com.
All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and this year's pint glass from Window Nation.
Hundreds of donors will be randomly selected for free tickets to one of these concerts at the BB&T Pavilion, the Smashing Pumpkins and Noel Gallagher on August 8th,
or Alice Cooper and Hailstorm on August 16th. Tickets for these shows are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Our 14th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve blood drive
from the American Red Cross Penn Jersey Blood Services Region
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
This Saturday is the 14th, and no, it's not this Saturday. It's a week from this Saturday. The I Bleed for Preston and Steve blood drive.
Oh, thank God you corrected that.
Sorry.
Woof.
But I want to start mentioning it a little more often. We've been kind of letting it breathe a little bit. We have recorded promos, and the other jocks here on MMR have been teasing it, and we appreciate that. But we want to have the biggest blood drive in the entire country. We came with within 20 units, like 12 units or something.
I think you're right.
Like
12. That. We had no, unbeknownst to us. No. So, listen.
Let's go for it.
It's all good,
yeah.
But let's go for it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Let's have another number.
To have the largest single-sponsored food drive and the largest single-day blood drive in the country would be pretty cool.
I agree. And the blood is absolutely positively needed right now for the Red Cross. Details are at WMMR.com. All donors get the newest Preston Steve t-shirt and this year's pint glass from Window Nation. So remember, it's Saturday, June 15th. You book the actual time And we are headed back to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks this year. So it's we're familiar with the layout, and it'll be great. There's all kinds of kids' activities. So if you have to bring one of your kids with you, they have some stuff to do during that time. And we're going to be giving away concert tickets, all kinds of stuff. And come out and first time ever, I believe, this year, Pierre Robert broadcasting live.
Broadcasting live. We're ecstatic to have Pierre out doing that. It's so cool. And Preston, this year more than ever, we're going to ask you to review the things that might keep you from donating blood when you arrive, correct?
Yes, most definitely. So it could be travel restrictions. It could be medications that you're taking, things that you may not have thought about. Just quickly go to the Red Cross website and take a look, or you can go to PrestonandSteve.com. The information's there, but take a quick little, you know, trip through the research department and make sure that we're not filling up a spot that somebody else could legitimately be donating.
Yeah, I already know that I can't donate because I got a tattoo last year.
Okay.
So if you get a tattoo in the state of Pennsylvania, in New Jersey, you're fine. But for some reason, Pennsylvania, you're restricted for a year.
And we need to see if the traveling to London anytime you go out of the country, there could be one reason or another. It's not all the time, but sometimes they have restrictions because you travel to a certain country.
We'll check. So, absolutely. The onus is on us to check. We're probably good, but it's well worth checking. And we ask you to do the same because we want to make sure, again, if we're just covering, you know, 15 to 20 pints gets us the first spot.
Please.
Then let's do it.
Let's get you on board. So if you could, ask your friends, your family members to join in as well. We would appreciate that, especially those who've done it year after year after year. Kind of nudge them a little bit and see if they can be a part of this record-breaking event.
Anybody you know who has blood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone you know who happens to have blood, tell them about it.
Most people, I think.
Most
at
people
At least three-quarters, probably.
Most people have blood, yeah. All right, we should do the Bizarre File. Now,
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, I checked here. I think I have three stories that all have to do with school. So let's go to school, folks. We'll start with this. A head teacher who used school funds to turn his office into a sex dungeon has been banned from the profession for life.
Wow. All right.
James Stewart. Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart.
Is 74 years old. He was executive principal at Sawtrey Village Academy in Cambridgeshire in England until 2014 when the Department of Education launched an investigation into his running of the school.
Well, you see, I like to be spanked by hot bitches. Is that so wrong?
He was convicted of fraud and misconduct. The former teacher defrauded the school.
I have a leather dog mask that really gets me off.
He had defrauded the school of more than $200,000, the BBC reported at the time, which he used to pay off credit card debt and bills. And he also turned an office into an inner sanctum where sex toys and condoms were found. He also
It's where I go to do the figging.
He also admitted drinking alcohol on site and having regular sex with another adult in one of his school offices.
Is it so wrong, though, for a teacher to sort of personalize a room?
No. In fact, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
The school has been left in serious financial difficulty, and this was not least because of the activities of the former head, which included building a sex dungeon alongside his office for his private use. A teaching regulation agency panel concluded that it was proportionate to ban Stewart from teaching indefinitely. The report said whilst Mr. Stewart previously had a good record, the panel found no evidence that the teacher's actions were not deliberate, nor was he acting under duress. In fact, the panel found the teacher's actions to be calculated, motivated, and sustained for a number of years. So he is never going to be able to teach
again. I like
again.
The wording on that.
Yeah. Michael Kumo, the principal at Holy Family Catholic School in Port Allen, an educator who previously received the prestigious $25,000 Milken Award.
Ooh, the Milken Award.
Has resigned after his arrest early Friday at a Washington, D.C. strip club while on a school field trip to the nation's capital.
Was he picking up the Merkin Award?
He may have been. So the spokesman for the diocese said that the incident occurred while Kumo was with students on a school-sponsored trip. Those students were in their hotel rooms under the supervision of other chaperones when Kumo was arrested. He submitted his resignation as principal. According to the arrest report, officers were dispatched at about 2:20 a.m. Friday to Archibald's Gentleman's Club.
Archie's Gentleman's Club.
On a complaint about an intoxicated man refusing to pay his bill. The report says that Kumo was found standing in a roadway refusing to move. He was asked to move multiple times but refused.
I'm not gonna.
Kumo was arrested on counts of public intoxication and possession of an open container of alcohol. Kumo had a service dog with him while he was at the strip club. I don't know why. And by the way, that strip club is about a quarter mile walk down from the White House. So he was right around the corner from the nation's
capital. Wow.
Yep, exactly. So tough day for him. Tough night.
Stupid!
An elementary school in Scranton was closed Thursday morning after educators realized somebody broke in and got naked and vandalized the place. Teachers discovered vandalism in parts of the gym and areas of the school. According to the Scranton police chief, once inside the school, the male took off his clothes and was walking through at least a portion of the school.
What's the naked thing? Are we thinking drugs?
Yeah. Maybe. Earlier in the day, television station WNEP was at the school for a segment about safety surrounding running in the dark. When they...
That's a segment?
I guess so. Yeah, they're in Scranton, dude. They need stuff to write about.
Sometimes running in the dark can cause injuries, especially if you collide with things you can't see.
You know they're right.
Yeah.
When they arrived around 4 a.m., a mess of Murphy's...
Jumping into pools of burning oil can be hazardous to your health.
When they arrived around 4 a.m., a mess of Murphy's oil soap was already cleaned off the gym floor. Initially, some thought it was just a school prank, and that was until the principal reviewed security footage later in the morning. For safety, the school officials decided to close the school for classes, but they don't know who this guy was, and they are trying to figure out how to find him. So, here's the fourth school.
There you go.
Story. A Florida high school teacher raised eyebrows this week after allegedly writing WTF is this on a student's homework.
Okay.
Melinda Smith, the student's mother, was shocked when her son showed her science homework with the comment WTF is this, absolutely no credit. It was written on the top. She said it wasn't anything about not getting the credit. It was more so the language about the writing to students that was very inappropriate and not acceptable for a teacher whatsoever, Smith says. Her son is a student at Rutherford High School in Panama City. Smith said the teacher should be reprimanded. The principal said that school officials have been notified of the situation and are conducting an investigation.
You think people just forget?
Yeah. I think so sometimes. Maybe. It's such a default thing.
Yeah, like this isn't a bad word, nor does it stand for bad words.
Yeah.
Well, suck, we talked about when you used to say that sucks.
Right. Yeah.
That...
Yeah,
that had a much more graphic connotation. Now it's sort of neutered.
In fact, suck it is
yes,
a big is
that's it.
A phrase that's used quite a bit. And what do you think they're talking about sucking on? Well, you know, we've kind of let that go. One last story. I love this one. Jonathan Parker, the former chairman of the Idaho Republican Party, has been arrested on a felony first-degree stalking charge. Parker was booked Thursday night into the county jail by Boise police. Police say Parker repeatedly disguised himself with a wig and pleasured himself while hiding in the bushes near his wife's apartment complex. Oh.
Near his wife's? Are they estranged?
Yes. So his wife, Kelly Parker, filed for divorce from him in March. A temporary restraining order relating to children and property was issued, but a judge ordered all records in the case sealed earlier this month.
Is that you out there? No, it's another guy with a wig.
Parker repeatedly shook his head from side to side during his video arraignment. His lawyer called the situation a grand misunderstanding.
Okay. What are you doing out there in the bushes? It's not me. It's a strange guy with a different hairstyle.
But listen to this. So the lawyer argued that Parker was going to a costume party and was peering through windows to scare a different woman.
Oh. So,
yeah.
So, and what about the pleasuring?
They
left that part out of the...
A judge set the bond at $80,000 and issued another no-contact order. Parker cannot be within 500 feet of his estranged wife.
And no wigs.
Parker left his position with the Idaho Republican Party in February. He had been chairman since 2017. Previously, he served as executive director for the state GOP and was a staffer to former Congressman Bill Saleh. So things have gone asunder for this gentleman. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. We're going to take a quick break. We are going to come back in just a moment. Make sure that you stay close. New Word of the Week prize this week, Hershey Park. And when I get there, we got four tickets and an overnight stay. So get yourself set for the letter of the day at the end of the program. We'll be back in a moment.
Preston and Steve. You can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thanks, Cass. Steve, you've got an event coming up.
It's coming up in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Preston, for indulging me and everybody for listening. I'm going to hit this a few times on the way to it. It's June 20th. It's Mutiny on the Mushulu, Mewtwo, and it's on the deck of the Mushulu. Pretty clever, huh?
I like it.
My wife's
charity. By the way, Mutiny is spelled M-E-W.
Yes, thank you. It's part of what I did there.
Yep.
So it's part of the Max Fund, which is Claire's charity, which she set up to provide financial resources for the care of homeless and feral cats. And it's basically the way Phil Abundance provides food for a whole bunch of different charities is what Max Fund endeavors to do. So the first one was last year. It was a huge success. It sold out. And what happens is all these entertainers and all these vendors provide all this stuff gratis. And we have a whole bunch of stuff this year. Again, it's a 6 to 9, June 20th. And we have all sorts of stuff. Music by DJ Perry. Juggling and Bubble Show by Doug Stafford. Acts of Strength by Babyface Reed. Magic by Mike Palladino. Tarot card readers. Character artists. A cat lady drag queen. Hasta la vista. Photo booths, arts and crafts from Hammer and Stain, stilt walkers, contortionists, the whole damn deal. And they're all wandering around while you're enjoying the happy hour. It's 6 to 9. And Yards Brewery is providing stuff. Revivalist Gin, Stateside Urban Craft Vodka, Chatsford Winery. We have delicious desserts from the Mixie Chicks, Macrons, Nothing Bundt Cakes of Ardmore, Tuck-ins, which is this awesome... like s'mores on a stick. They're great. They're going to be there. Casey, Zaz Ice Cream is going to be there.
Yes.
Yes, and they're awesome. So all of this delicious, wonderful stuff going on. Plus, there's the Kitten Cuddle Corner, silent auction, raffles 50-50. It's a blast. The whole idea is just to have fun in the most casual way while these entertainers wander around. And while you're doing that, you're helping provide money that's going to go to help these animals. If you're a cat fan or if just a fan of a good time, I'd love for you to be a part of it. So, again, it's going to be on June 20th. Tickets are available right now. So if you go to PrestonandSteve.com, there's a link. And I will be there. I think, Nick, you said you might be there as well.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to bring any cats home, though.
Pierre's is, I don't know, Marissa's going to try, and we're going to have a few other people down there. But it's really just about coming out and having a good time. And we have the Mutineers, the Pirateers, which are some of our calendar girls. And our own Joss helps out and does that as well. So it's I like it because it reminds me, Preston, you know, Circus in Vegas, where you go about and have a good time and the circus is happening around you.
Yeah.
That's what you don't have to sit down and watch a show. It's all happening as you move around the deck.
Cool.
And at the Mushulu, they've just been nothing but wonderful with providing us the place to do it. So I'd appreciate it if you can. I'm going to hit it a few more times. Don't hate me for doing it, but it's a good cause and we'd love to have you participate. So thank you.
June 20th. Get the info. Hey, we found out why Ellen DeGeneres was mentioning the Phillies game. Was that last week?
Last week,
I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had assumed maybe it had something to do with John Dornbos, and yes, it did.
Okay.
So they were there to give away a Chevy Blazer to a lucky Philly fan.
Huh.
And Dornbos was there, and Rhys Hoskins helped out as well.
Now, was it the Blazer, the whole suit, or was it?
No, I think it was the whole.
It was a vehicle.
Yeah.
Oh!
A Chevy Blazer.
Yeah, it's been gone for, what, like 14, 15 years or something like that?
Has it?
Yeah, my wife is a huge Blazer fan. And so when she got her first sales gig, she had a Blazer.
Okay.
She had to sell it because she was given a company car. And this
is a big bring back.
Yeah, it's a big, but they really changed the body. It's pretty bad.
I have not even seen it. I got to take a look at it.
I don't like it.
Okay. All right. Well,
I kind of like it.
Ellen gave one away. And they had a contest that they were doing. So that's what was going on. Cause they had teased or she had teased that they were going to be there and they played a game of, not blindfolded musical chairs. so it was basically a baseball themed version of musical chairs and 10 contestants were grabbing at baseballs rather than running around and sitting in chairs and stuff like that.
Man, so Rhys Hoskins is really good on camera and on, he's a good interview.
He is.
And he looks like he's having fun at this thing too. too, man. That's cool.
Ellen comes up with some, I mean, her crew or her production team, they come up with some really good games. And she has that, her game show.
Her game show, yeah.
Which is actually a pretty solid. So, yeah, the stuff they do is great. And Dorenboss is excellent on camera as well. And she clearly loves the crap out of him.
So is he doing more with her now?
He does a lot with her now.
Yeah.
So she really, they really got on very, very well from the get-go. And now using him, I'm wondering if he'll, you know.
Get married?
Well, no, not
that's
that.
That's not going to happen.
No, maybe if John were to end up, you know, hosting some type of TV show or something like that, you never know.
I could, he's got the charisma and he's got the magic.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. He's used to being on stage.
Yeah.
He knows how to work a crowd, so something like that could happen. So that was pretty cool they were in town. But it was when nasty weather was coming through, like there were tornado warnings and everything. So that's why they were here. But which, by the way, I want to thank the staff at the ballpark. Yesterday we had the Take Steps Walk for the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. It ended up being a beautiful day. Ended up just being a stunningly beautiful day because there were supposed to be storms coming through, but it was wonderful. And about 3,000 people or so showed up. So we appreciate all the support. This would be nice if they had this at the Citizens Bank Park, but the Eiffel Tower just got a zip line.
Whoa!
Mm-hmm. Yep. The French mineral water brand Perrier has set up a zip line. It'll take riders on a once-in-a-lifetime ride from the structure with speeds up to 90 kilometers per hour. It begins at the balcony of the tower, so it's on the lowest part that you go up to. You know,
is
what
it
I mean?
90 kilometers an hour because it's over in Europe?
That would be it. Yeah, and I don't have the conversion speed. So
that's still pretty freaking fast.
Like 60 miles an hour.
60 miles an hour?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It begins at
5 liters.
The journey of 2,625 feet, which lasts around 60 seconds. So a full minute of zip. That's not bad. Begins at the balcony of the tower. It's about 337 feet up and ends at a military complex. Members of the public can win tickets to ride by entering an online lottery via the Perrier Instagram page.
And as you're going down the zip line, people are throwing baguettes and cheese into your mouth.
Oh, that's great.
That's what they do?
Yeah. So this isn't going to last that long?
No, it's not going to be a permanent attraction. This isn't the first time they've had a zip line there, though. It's been assembled at the... in 2017, it was set up to celebrate the French Open.
Okay.
What would the ride be like if you did it from the absolute top?
Oh, my God.
That'd be awesome.
That would be insane.
I did a zip line last year when I was in New Hampshire. And it was amazing. We went faster than 60 miles per hour. And we went all the way.
180?
We were up there. I mean, you basically go as fast as you allow yourself. Well, A is as you weigh, and B, as you allow yourself to go. Or at least the one that we did.
Okay. But it had a little handbrake on it?
Yeah, had a little handbrake on it.
Oh, very cool.
But, excuse me, the first one we did was like a mile long. So, you know.
A mile long zip, huh?
Yeah, it was, I could be lying.
It was uphill.
Well, we took it was a series of two different zip lines that we took because you took the ski lift all the way up to the top of the mountain, and you took one really really long zip line to another part of the mountain, and then all the way down to the bottom.
It's quite actually at Whistler they have a whole it's a whole course.
Mm-hmm.
And did you do it when you were Whistler? They had a zip line tour. Claire did it. My wife, and it goes on and on and on, but it's, you're going at some steep drops.
Sure.
It's at parts of the trip, and it's very cool.
We've done the Spring Mountain a few times,
which is
a lot of fun. They have several zips that you get to do, but you can now do that at the Eiffel Tower. By the way, these are just little odds and ends of stories that I'm throwing
out. I forget which theme goes with this one.
I don't.
I don't remember which voice.
Nick's going to, or Casey will
bring it up. I got time to head over to the odds and ends store. Where proprietor Preston Elliott has some odds and ends to deliver to you.
Yes.
Don't forget to pick up some flour while you're there and some grain for the chickens.
Speaking of chickens...
just one more of the stupid characters we do to tell you the same stories in different ways.
We'll go to waterfowl instead of whatever chickens are. They're just fowl.
Another kind of fowl.
They're just fowl. Right?
They're just foul and filthy, and I hate them.
Ground fowl. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources is asking for volunteers to help count the loons on lakes across the state this summer.
There's one, there's two. Keep counting, you old bitch.
The hell are you doing, you crazy old crone?
She's counting the loons.
I'm counting loons, Norman. Well, I'm going to be in here counting Xanax. As I try to overdose and kill myself. End this misery.
So he doesn't have to listen to you count the whole time.
Yeah.
So
crazy old bitch. Shut up.
To help the process, the Department of Natural Resources says it's launching a new online system that will allow volunteers to determine where they can help. Volunteers will be required to.
I guess we don't read a zip line.
Yeah. Volunteers would be required to dedicate a morning between June 28th and July 8th to count loons on at least one of their 150 lakes. Volunteers would have to commit 2 to 4 hours per lake sometime between 5 a.m. and noon on the given day to count.
Boy, that sure sounds exciting.
Doesn't it?
I'll be down there in just a few minutes. I'm just going to swan dive into the wood chipper.
The Department of Natural Resources says its annual count is a critical process to protect the loon population, by the way. So
I have severe rheumatoid arthritis. Every day is a living agony. And you want me to go out and count loons?
Yes, we do, actually.
It's been years since I wiped my ass and not had blood on the tissue.
Cool.
So I'm supposed to care about this? No, I mean, that's disgusting. Shut up.
That's that version. This is a loon's version of whoo, right here. This one. Yep.
The Ric Flair loon.
Yep. By the way, they are pretty amazing to hear in nature. When the only time that I've been to Maine.
Yeah, they're a riot.
The only time that I've been to Maine.
They'll drive you stark raving mad.
We stayed on a lake, and when they would vocalize in the evening, it was so cool.
It is beautiful.
It was really
and
awesome.
The golden, all those, that whole area is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Any loon pond is gorgeous.
I want to get back there. I definitely want to get back there. All right, back to the store and another story or two.
There's proprietor Preston in the window, making sure the display looks like just so.
Hey, Preston, you have any buckshot? I want to shoot the old bitch. She's back at the house counting loons.
Yes, sir. Right this way, sir. We have plenty of buckshot for you.
You have a bear trap I could slap over her head?
Katz's Delicatessen.
Oh, the famous Katz Delicatessen.
Yep, yep.
I've been.
Did you get a big corned beef sandwich?
Not big corned beef sandwich because I'm not a massive fan of corned beef.
Pastrami?
But no, their turkey sandwich. If you were a shark and could disconnect your jaw, you could take it on. They're just huge sandwiches.
Yeah, it's obscene.
Yeah.
The amount they give it. Well, they have a very novel contest this July. The legendary Jewish deli known for its pastrami and corned beef sandwiches is celebrating the 30th anniversary of the romantic comedy When Harry Met Sally.
Ah.
And they are inviting fans to demonstrate their ability to fake an orgasm, much like Meg Ryan's character did while dining there with Billy Crystal's character in the movie.
Is there an option to not fake it and really do the real thing?
Ooh. There should be.
They're actually having sex at table six.
The contest is happening July 12th. It is open to all genders and will be judged by notable New Yorkers and special guests. That day, the deli will also offer an I'll have what she's having package for $135. And that includes exclusive merch and classic favorites, as well as ingredients to make a specialty pastrami on rye sandwich ordered by Crystal's character and the turkey sandwich ordered by Ryan's character.
That's such a great movie.
Yeah, you know, imagine they'll stop by, right? I mean, if they're doing this big celebration, I would think that both of those stars have been maybe Rob Reiner.
I would bet you Billy Crystal makes a buy for sure.
He's right there.
Yeah, he's in New York.
So, yeah. Rob Reiner's West Coast, but
you're right. Yeah.
Who knows though? This is a seminal movie.
Yeah. You know what? Do you think it's for a place like that? The Surge's sandwich is that big because you have that and you got the Carnegie Deli. They serve really big sandwiches.
Same
too.
Deal. Big, big kosher sandwiches.
Are they tourist attractions?
They are.
Or do locals go there? You think
locals do? But it's like there's. Like in Little Italy is what I'm attempting to say. Mama Leone's. Mm-hmm. So you go into Mama Leone's, and it is probably 80% tourists and 20% locals. But there are some locals.
Okay. All right. So if you're pretty good at faking an orgasm, you may want to go by there. And I don't
know
if they're giving anything away.
After my surgery, prostate surgery, I can fake an orgasm.
Yeah. Yeah, you could.
Yeah, before
you got,
I could.
You got nothing.
Yeah.
All right, here's another story. This one I meant to get to last week, and this proves that Marissa Magnotta is the happiest woman on earth. A professor of behavioral science at the London School of Economics, Paul Dolan, says that women who are not married and don't have children are the happiest group in the population.
Is that right?
And are also likely to outlive their married, child-rearing peers, as well as be healthier than them. So
she's sitting there smiling.
She is.
Well, I mean, look at what she did this weekend. I mean, she just went to somewhere in Ohio for some big punk music festival.
What was it?
Drove out to Thornville, Ohio for a Camp Anarchy, Rancid and No Effects and Pennywise and Lesson Jake and Bad Religion. We actually bumped into, we just met a group of guys. There's three guys. It used to be in like a punk band in the 90s and 2000s. And we just became friends with them. And they were three dads. And we took them out on Saturday night. There's not many bars that are open late after a festival in Thornville, Ohio. But we found them. And the guys were hurting so bad yesterday.
What about you?
Did you
get in this morning or did you get back last night?
No, we drove right from the festival. We left in the middle of No Effects last night and got here.
Okay.
Did
the same thing last year.
Yeah.
And she just sort of comes and goes.
Last year was a torrential, much better weather this time, right?
Yes. Last year it was pouring the entire time, and there were threats of rain the entire weekend. I went to the local Walmart and bought some throwaway sneakers that I'm still wearing right now. But no, it was actually nice. It was a little dusty, but it was fine.
So all the time that's going on, do you savor the notion that you're going to live longer than your married counterparts?
Now I will.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, here's an example of Marissa and where her life is. It's Friday. You want to do anything this weekend? I don't even want to go to Portugal.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. You know?
Yeah.
And they just go.
Well, I got to pack, give me about a half hour.
She just goes there and buys shoes from the Portuguese Walmart.
I packed on Friday morning for this one, Thursday night, I should say, and I packed two bags of clothes because I just didn't even have time to look through it. I would just literally throw half my closet and was like, all right, let's go.
That's it. She's living the life. She's going to outlive us, and she's going to be healthier.
You dressed decidedly different at this festival concert than you do for the MM Barbecue. You had your punk duds on.
Oh, yeah. I got my flat brim hat.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting. We don't have to get into this now, but the punk scene right now and, like, NoFX and Fat Mike and just cross-dressing and no dressing, lots of naked people walking around.
Really?
Very fun, yeah.
Okay. The professor notes that the previous research has shown men get health benefits from being married and also usually calm down as a result of putting a ring on it, while women show no changes in health after getting married, and middle-aged married women actually have been found to be at higher risk of physical and mental conditions compared to their single peers.
So you're saying we married men are killing our married wives.
Yeah, basically.
Seriously. Awesome.
They're what's happening. Okay. So we're drowning, and they're saving us.
And we're dragging them down.
And we're using them as personal flotation devices.
Listen, if it has to be one way, I'm kind of glad that's the way it's breaking. I love my wife, but listen, I knew she saved me years ago.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly.
And now you're killing her.
And now I'm killing her.
You're like the weight belt.
I am the weight belt walking across the bottom of the pool.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, here's another little thing from the general store. Is this music queued up ready to go? I can just hit this.
Goddamn music.
All right, there it is. Steve, you'll like this one. This is very interesting. So Disney World.
Yes.
Can sometimes be, you know, its own little bubble. But now visitors with Amazon Prime can get same-day delivery, as Amazon is now offering that service in Orlando. You can also benefit from this if you're a Prime member using Universal Studios or simply live in Orlando. The only catch is you have to place an order greater than $20 to get it delivered on the same day and get it sent to your resort, mm-hmm. You'll have to go to the Amazon Prime Now storefront and type in your resort name with the word guest plus your name after it, and then add the resort's physical address. But you can get something sent the same day
to your resort.
To your resort if you're staying at the Disney or Universal.
I wonder how much this will translate into more vacation locations.
Well,
so,
they already have these services. In Orlando. Yeah, there's a lot of them, and they'll deliver groceries and things like that to you. So now it's just easier because it's Amazon. If you already have an Amazon account, you're not going to like a separate site.
Yes. So, I mean, there are different services that will go shop for you and go get things. And you know, that's a given. So if you're like here, if you're staying at the Hilton and you order something from Amazon and have it sent to the Hilton, can you get same day or?
I think so. Okay. I think it has to be like a delivery service. It has to be, like you said, $20 or more. But they will do. I think there's a small fee, which I'm not really loving that, but yeah, you can have it delivered.
Okay. All right. I was not aware of that. I can't imagine being at a resort and all of a sudden, hey, we need something. Boom, order it. It's there.
I know.
My brother's a vacation club member of Disney, and so they go quite often. And when they do, they go for a long time. And they'll often order stuff or they used to ship stuff down there. I'm talking like
Their luggage and stuff?
No. Oh. I'm talking like cases of water and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I never think to do that stuff, but
I
guess it does make sense.
We just did it when we were in Nashville. We knew that we were going to need a lot of water and Gatorade.
Condoms.
and liquid IV. So we had it delivered to the room prior to us getting there. It was all set up when we got there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
40-year-old women.
What's wrong with that?
You guys rock.
Yeah, you got it made.
Yep.
You got it covered. That's interesting. But, I mean, yeah, so if you're... It's almost like you're at home. You know what I mean?
It is exactly
that stuff.
There is not a day that goes by virtually where I'm not getting something from Amazon.
Wow.
It's crazy.
All right. So now if you're at the resort, you can do that too.
But we still support brick and mortar stores.
Yeah.
Like the Odds and End Shop with proprietor Preston Elliott.
That's right.
He's been in business for 61 years. People rely on him in these parts, is what I'm trying to say.
Let's see.
My dentures slipped.
What else did I want to do here? All right, how about this?
Proprietor Preston Elliott is looking for another story.
I got a few good ones here.
He's got a few good ones.
Where I wanted to go to next. What would you do to make your butt look good in a photo?
Ooh, I'd have it wear a cowboy hat.
For celebrities and social media influencers, it's about contorting the body for the best rear view.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you know what to do, Kathy?
I'm not sure. I'm sure it's probably a little arch in the back.
Well, for me, it's... bending over and pulling the cheeks as far apart as possible.
Jesus. I think that's a different type of photo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
I
not
misunderstood.
What about.
I think so you can see everything. Where you can see where the skin starts to turn color.
Oh my God.
Right? Is that what you're talking about?
Listen, no. I didn't.
You want to be able to see membrane.
I didn't even realize I was doing it, but I was. I mooned my daughter.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Just
here.
But I brown eyed.
Oh no, traumatized her for life.
So is that how you take a proper ass picture?
I don't think any child should see their father's butthole.
Ever. No.
Write that down.
Do what I did feel it.
It scarred her. She was like, she freaked out.
Oh, yeah.
I thought more like, you know, I was singing more in the veins of my son that I was doing that too. And I was like, I can't believe I just did that. I just did that.
I can't believe it either.
Wow. I know.
Yeah. The man in my little girl.
Yeah, right.
Poppy. Hey, Daddy, I just saw your brown eye.
Is that your butthole, Poppy?
It was quite dramatic, Poppy.
His name is Eddie. He wants to know if we can go steady.
I've ever seen your butthole. I had to tell him I did, Daddy. He's not my boyfriend anymore, Daddy. Thanks for scarring me, Daddy.
Oh, the car, Pop?
Oh my God.
Well, anyway, back to the story.
I saw your balloon knot, Daddy.
Hey, look over there.
Didn't want to see it, Daddy.
You probably shouldn't have told us that.
Here's other stories. So the most popular booty popping position involves tilting the pelvis and arching the back.
Yeah.
So the obvious.
And then swiveling the head to the side. Bootylicious models such as Hailey Bieber and Isabel Goulart.
Glort.
Have recently...
My name is Isabel Glort.
have recently...
You may want to change our last name.
Posed on the red carpet this way to highlight their pert posteriors in gowns with plunging backs.
So can you show Casey what he's? Do you know what he's describing? Are you?
Well, I'm going to give it more detailed. So here we go. Here's an influencer, Daisy Keach, who last month enlisted a plastic surgeon to certify that her backside was real to her 1.1 million Insta followers. Said, "I'll stand up straight and spread my legs a little bit to make myself look a little bit wider than if my feet were closer together." She says, "Then I'll arch my back a little bit."
Right.
"And I'll kind of puff out my chest. I breathe out and my stomach cinches in as I pose."
God, what a bunch of nonsense to go through.
One of our calendar girls, though, does this perfect. And I can't remember which one it is. I'm trying to find her pictures, but like,
is it Shay? Our cover girl?
I mean, listen, they probably all take great booty shots, but there's one specific calendar girl, and I can't remember who it is.
The 19-year-old influencer from Los Angeles says...
Influencer.
She says a lot goes into properly accentuating her most famous asset, which she dubbed the Keach Peach.
The Keach... What's her full name?
Her name is Daisy Keach.
Oh, I thought you said Stacy Keach. I'm like, that guy?
Daisy Keach, and she calls it the Keach Peach. One of her other go-to tricks involves bending the leg that's closest to the camera while standing, quote, super tall on the other foot. If you arch your back a little bit and lean the shoulder closest to the camera forward, she said it will make your waist look smaller and your butt look bigger.
So none of them suggest putting your stomach forward on a table and pulling your ass cheeks far apart?
I haven't gotten to the whole thing yet, okay. So maybe. But while an overarched spine may look good on the gram, it's not the greatest for your posture, says experts. With a neutral pelvis, the hip points and pubic bone align. By contrast, the sway back position and other similar moves create an interior pelvic tilt, which is placing a lot of strain on the pelvis, says chiropractor Marcella Thomas.
Well, of course, we know that the way you're posing is not the way you should walk around in life.
Some people do actually suffer.
Like, what are you going to be like this? Like,
like Frankenstein?
Some people do actually suffer from an anterior pelvic tilt, an issue that Thomas says that she would treat in her office using strengthening and stretching positions and spinal adjustment.
She's really taking this seriously.
Yeah, she is.
I have that pelvic tilt just when I stand regularly.
I don't know what you mean by that, the pelvic.
So, like, my... I guess I have like a natural bend in my back and
which accentuates your
An arch, and my pelvis kind of tilts a bit just when forward. I stand normal. No, kind of down.
Does that happen when you try to touch your elbows behind your back?
I see. Yeah, and then I do that and tilt my head and
like when you lick your own nipples.
Right. Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. All very similar. Yeah. It's natural that my tongue goes down to my nipple.
When I give my Kathy, same. When I give myself oral.
Right.
My butt really sticks out.
Yeah, it's natural to bend like
that. That's what
I thought. Yeah.
Right. Come on. This whole world of... But on Instagram, they reign supreme, these butt model influencers.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. So that's how you do it. That's a recommendation anyhow.
Do you have a little picture cheat when you're getting a picture? What, you know?
Ugh, they don't work anymore.
So I did... years ago, I was doing a photo shoot, and the best photo that came out, the photographer, she was really, really good, and she instructed how to essentially position my head to get the best way, you know, the best.
What is the best way?
So she had said pencil neck. So extend my neck straight up as much and kind of tilt the chin down just a little bit.
Right.
We're all doing it.
And and that, because I was concerned about double chin. Now, I have this beard now, which covers it up, which is wonderful. It was kind of extend my neck up and tilt the head down just a little bit. And you also want the shot to be coming from an up angle.
Should you do the
camera is a little higher. Mm-hmm. No, you don't want to do that.
Pull your face.
That's horrible. Don't pull your face back.
Wait,
like
you know what's really funny? Who taught me that exact same trick and to open your eyes a little bit wider than you normally would was Debbie Gibson. When I was like 15 years old.
Wow.
I took a picture with her and she told me that.
Wow. Okay. Oh, she's... She's photogenic.
I didn't think about opening the eyes a little bit wider. That makes sense.
Yeah, you have to be careful, though. Like, in some of my pictures, it looks like I'm scared or really surprised. I'm like, all right, you're going a little too much on the eye-opening thing here.
A friend of mine, comedian years ago, had me help him take pictures of him with a Polaroid to get his, because he was, he first off, he wore a toupee.
Was he a stand-up guy?
He was a stand-up, yeah. And I'm like, he was doing these things. I'm like, dude, to try to find his look.
Yeah.
And I'm just laughing my ass off because it just.
Did it help?
I thought it all looked stupid. But
when you do look at yourself like that and you see yourself in those bad poses,
yeah.
It'll register in your brain if you're paying attention to it.
But he ended up with an angle that he liked, which is, I guess he thought his left side was his best side, was a slight tilt, and that's how he always took his picture.
But I guess you're luckier now because everything's digital and you can see the pictures, you know, instantaneously.
And filters.
Much. Yeah.
You have instant filters.
No, but like, you know, before you would have, and Polaroids were great for that because you could just, you know, it wasn't as instantaneous as it is with digital now, but.
It was the best way to take a picture of your own dong.
but if you do use filters and things like that, I see a couple of people that I know that try to wash out every single wrinkle they have, and it just doesn't look
Android
right.
Yeah. Flat.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. But if you want the booty to pop, you got to arch your back a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Spread your cheeks.
You tilt and spread your butthole.
Yeah. So that you can feel breeze on your balloon knot.
Yep, exactly. So, all right, anyhow.
Oh,
glad we wrapped up there. That is, that's just some stuff off the shelves.
Little balloon knot, Chad, at the Art and End store.
Yeah.
As prepared, Preston Elliott in the doorway, waving goodbye. Hopes you come on back soon.
Thanks for coming by, folks.
Now go home and enjoy your incest.
We'll do it again sometime.
And kill your wife who's counting loons.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Am I giving that away?
Yeah!
I have... He's very happy. I have a $50 Dunkin' gift card.
Ooh.
And I will take caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR, and I will set you up with that. So call 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, on Friday, June 7th, Dunkin' is celebrating National Donut Day, by offering you a free donut with any beverage purchase. And President Steve Ron on Dunkin', participation may vary. Limited time offer while supplies last. We'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Greta Van Fleet. Mark Morton with Chester Bennington. The Gloria Sons.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you very much, Kat. So we've been dabbling in Scholastic stuff lately because, you know, we have the coolest teacher going on. Graduations are taking place this week.
We're obviously a source of higher learning.
Of course we are, most definitely. At the Scripps National Spelling Bee was last week. They had an 8-way tie. By the way, Kathy had mentioned that.
First time ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they've had ties before.
But in 8-way, they all completed their final word.
Yeah.
And nailed it.
And they went 3.5 hours without any of them spelling anything incorrectly.
That's amazing. they've had some changes in the rules where they would allow, because sometimes these tiebreakers have dragged on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
That they've decided to go with, you know, sharing the title, and that happened. And listen, I've been at some spelling bees before. Steve, years and years ago, you and I went to some event in the city where
we were
these celebrity team members, and I got on board with a group of lawyers. They were throwing words that I'd never heard of course. And then my job on the team was to actually spell the word. So the people around me would say, you know, they give us the word, and they would start conferring with each other, and then we would agree on a spelling of the word. So they would do all the work, and then all I was the mouthpiece. I couldn't even get that right. I got one of them wrong.
Oh, no. Even though
because
the right
I
word, yeah.
said it incorrectly, and they spelled it correctly. I just said it wrong. That's how bad at spelling I am.
You know, so if you watch these, a lot of these people, and it's so I'm actually a pretty good speller. I used to not be, and I don't know how it became the case. But if you watch a lot of these Scripps champions, they do, like, for example, when we did Classroom, Casey was looking up at, I guess, like a chalkboard in his mind where he's writing the word out. And they hold their hands. There was one girl who held her hand out and was pretend writing in her hand. Because a lot of these words, you need to suss them out that way, also in the way they're used in a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing, especially since they'll hear the word for the first time and they kind of get the idea of the context, and they go, well, words that are in the context
this way are usually spelled this way.
That's amazing.
It's like 15 million different things happening at once.
And the language of origin, too, can lead you to what vowels you're going to use.
Pig Latin.
So yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ixnay.
So with that in mind, and we have some prizes that we can give away, I thought a spelling bee might be kind of fun, but I wanted to do this Preston and Steve style. And, Kathy, I have named this after a famous phrase that you have used before. So the name of this contest is, that's not even a word. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a word that is not real. It's a word that's either made up or I looked up some made up words with definitions. But you have to spell them how I have them spelled here, how I think that these should be spelled.
So we did something years ago with our intern, Jeremy, who's a horrible speller, as a joke. But in this case, we are attempting to get the spelling as close to the way you perceive the word as being spelled, which really, in the broad scheme of things, is not dissimilar from a lot of...
Yeah.
What happens at the Scripps Spelling Bee?
And for the most part, these words that I have are rooted in real words. They're I've combined a few different words to make words, and therefore you can kind of figure it out.
All right.
So 215-263-WMMR. You don't have to be a very good speller, but you do have to get what I have here, and I will give you the part of speech that it's from. I will give you the definition, and I'll also use the word in a sentence.
All right.
If that's going to help you out. So we have a variety of prizes,
Case?
So
yeah, we got movie passes, we got brewskis, we got passes for Franklin
Roast beef.
Institute.
We do have roast beef, yes.
Well, we have Omaha Steaks.
Omaha Steaks.
Yeah.
All right. So
we got lots of stuff.
All right, 215.
Duncan as well.
215-263-WMMR. That's not even a word.
Not even a word.
Is the name of the contest. So let's go to... By the way, hold on a second. I tried to use... A word in Scrabble. We actually played, not Words with Friends, but actually broke out the board game Scrabble a few weeks ago. And I used, man, I took a picture of it. I'm going to have to find it. But it was a word that we use here on the air. And turns out it's not a word.
Is okay.
What's that?
Donk.
It was donk.
Was it really?
Yes, it was. Casey donked it. I took a picture of it.
Job donkers.
I meant to show it to you guys. It would take me a while to find it, but I'll have to scroll through. I'm looking right now.
What's the derivation case? Because it was
it might be somebody's name, like Job Donkers.
Job?
No, Job Donkers.
Yeah,
but it was Job something. It wasn't Donkers. It was misstated.
Yeah. Man, I don't remember what
that was. And so the phrase that we created is, "Man, I donked that."
Yep. I will, you know what, I don't have time to go through this right now.
How old is that?
Thank you, Job Donkers.
It's really old. All right, we'll go to the phones, 215-263-WMMR, and I will go to Sarah. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Sarah. All right, so we're playing a game called That's Not Even a Word. I'm going to give you a fake word and the definition. Use it as a sentence. You tell me how it's spelled, okay?
Excellent.
All right, so Sarah, your word is snazifle. All right, snazifle. Snazifle is a verb. It is the act of trying to hold in a sneeze. And to use it in a sentence, Jim tried not to make any noise during the funeral service, but everyone heard him snazifle. How do you spell snazifle?
Snazifle. S-N-A-Z-I-F-F-I-L.
That's incorrect. No. It's rooted in sneeze, so it's S-N-E-Z-I-F-F-L-E. So that's incorrect. Sorry about that. Snazifle.
All right.
All right. Should I do more than one person per word?
I think so, right, depending if you have a lot of words.
All right, let's go to Eileen. Hi, Eileen. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Eileen, your word for it's not even a word is snackmosphere. All right.
I got this one.
Snackmosphere. Snackmosphere is a noun, and it is the 95% air inside a bag of potato chips. Use it in a sentence. Jane was upset when she opened her Lay's to find the majority of the bag was filled with snackmosphere. So please spell the word snackmosphere, Eileen.
All right. S-N-A-Z-K-M-O-S.
P-A-E-R-E. Yeah! Yeah! Nice job, Eileen.
Yeah.
And for that, Casey, what do we have for Eileen?
Well, now for you, we have a Father's Day Steak Fix gift package from Omaha Steaks, including 2 tender filet mignons, 2 bowl top sirloins, 2 savory pork chops, 8 Omaha Steak burgers, 4 massive gourmet jumbo franks, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks, and much more. This Father's Day, you can give Dad a gift packed with the Omaha Steaks he craves. Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter the this promo code, Preston, spelled P-R-E-S-T-O-N, in the search bar for 74% off the Father's Day Steak Fix gift package, now for only $59.99.
Nice job, Eileen. Hang on the line. We're going to get your information. All right. So there all you right. go. She got it.
She got it.
Snacklosphere. Let's go next to, let's go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
All right, Brian, we're playing That's Not Even a Word. I'm going to give you a word. Let's even spell it, okay?
All right.
Gapiana. Gapiana is a noun. It's the little strip of land between the you are now leaving and you are now entering signs when you cross from one state into another.
So what's to use the language of origin?
It's English. All right, here we go. When crossing from PA to Delaware, you spend 0.05 seconds in the Gapiana. Okay. Please spell the word Gapiana.
G-A-P-I-A-N-N-A.
Oh, you had one too many N's in there.
We
can give it to him.
Give it to him.
We're going to we'll give it to him?
Yeah.
It's a fake. It's not even a word.
It's not even a word.
It's not even a word. But he was so close.
Thanks,
and
Brian.
And it was just whether you broke with two. Now, because, like, Indiana, yep. or but the Gapiana is a... Yeah, I might have broken with the two N's. Why do you think it's with the one N?
Casey's shaking his head.
Well, listen, don't make me the bad guy.
Go ahead. Hang on, Brian.
There is a right and a wrong answer, and he didn't get the right answer.
That's true. But the creator of the list gave a special dispensation.
Okay. Well, now we have one less $50 Dunkin' gift card to give away to actual winners. Well,
yes.
Yes.
All right, fair enough.
Getting a little snooty here.
Yeah, well, hey, listen. Do you have judges for this contest or what?
You're right. You're right. I can't argue.
We will go next to Ashley. Hi, Ashley. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Ashley, we're playing That's Not Even a Word. Going to give you a fake word. Let's see if you can spell it. Here we go. Hawaska. All right, Hawaska.
Use it in a song, please.
It is a noun. I'm not going to use it in a song. It is a noun. On an atlas, the rectangular box which contains Hawaii and Alaska. To use it in a sentence, Serafina was so relieved when she found Hawaii in the Hawaska just off the coast of Texas for her research project.
I think this is an easy one.
What? How do you spell Hawaska?
H-A-U-S-K-A.
That is incorrect.
No. Sorry. No.
Hang on a second. So you want me to try a different caller?
Yes, because when you gave the explanation, I think that's kind of a home run.
Yep. I'll go to Dan next. Hi, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Is this for the Hershey tickets?
Yes, absolutely. If you travel back in time 5 years, you're going.
All right, Hawaska. Did you hear me describe that?
Yes, I did.
All right, how do you spell Hawaska?
Let's go H-A-W-A-S-K-A.
That's correct, yes. The two states together, Hawaii and Alaska.
Doesn't it kind of suck that they do that on the maps, that they both have to share a box?
Yeah.
Hang on a second. We're going to give you information. We're going to give you the Father's Day Steak Fix gift package from Omaha Steaks, 2 tender filet mignons, 2 bold top sirloins, 2 pork chops, 8 steak burgers, massive gourmet jumbo franks, 4 of those, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks, and more. Father's Day, give Dad a gift package with the Omaha Steaks he craves. You can go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code Preston in the search bar for 74% off Father's Day Steak Fix gift package. Now for only $59.99. All right, we will go next to Steve. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Steve. All right, did that hurt?
Yeah, a little bit.
Sorry, man. Let's go to this word. We're playing It's Not Even a Word. And your word is malmanac. Malmanac. It is a noun in a mall. The giant maze with blocks and numbers on it, otherwise known as the directory, is a malmanac. So here, I'll use it in a sentence. Cuthbert was at his wit's end trying to find the Cowbell Emporium until he stumbled across the malmanac.
Isn't Cuthbert your dad's name?
That's what Bill thinks. How do you spell malmanac?
All right. M-A-L-L-M-A-N-A-C.
That's
yes!
it!
It's a Z-Z. Absolutely correct. Casey, what do we have for Steve?
All right, Steve, for you, we have a $50 Dunkin' gift card.
Yeah.
Preston and Steve, run on Dunkin'.
Hang on a second. We'll get your information.
Try the lattes. Try the lattes.
Let me go to John next. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, guys. Gadzook.
All right, Gadzook to you, John. Here is your word. It is a hieroglyph. All right. Hieroglyph. It is a noun. And it is a little stick figure on a almanac that tells you where you are in the mall because you can't tell by yourself because there is no face on it.
Repeat the word again.
All right. Hieroglyph. All right. So it's a little stick figure on a almanac that tells you you are here. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
So you see it at the, on the directory.
Now I understand.
It says you are here. And use it in a sentence. It wasn't until Spud saw the hieroglyph on the almanac that he knew that he was indeed right here.
I know what the joining of the words is now.
All right, John. Hieroglyph. Spell it, please.
All right. H-E-R-E-O-G-L-Y-P-H.
He nailed it! And that's not even a word.
Well, it's hieroglyph. And here.
That is correct.
Wow.
Yeah, so John got it right. And Case, what are we going to give John?
For you, John, we have a case of Yards Philly Pale Ale. Before you get 10, get pale. Philly Pale Ale is the classic sessional brew with the clean hop finish. You can find Philly Pale Ale at Split Rail Tavern in Westchester.
Nice. All right, we will go to, I got a couple more of these. We have Barry. Hey, Barry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, sir. All right, so let's give you a not even a word and see if you can spell it. Elbonics. Elbonics. It is a noun. It is the action of two people maneuvering for one armrest in a movie theater. Actually, that would be a verb, I guess.
Yes.
Kind of, sort of. So here is a sentence. Because they were engaged in Elbonics, neither Jay nor Carissa were able to enjoy Mac and Me. Elbonics. Yes, spell it, please.
Okay. E-L-B-O-N-I-C-K-S.
Oh, no. Incorrect. I'm sorry, sir.
So close, though. Just one letter.
Yeah, one letter off. Got to let you go.
All right, I appreciate it, guys.
All right.
Thanks.
It's, you know what? I've got enough words here. I'll just spell that one. E-L-B-O-N-I-C-S.
Oh.
No K involved whatsoever in that one. All right, we will go to Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing, man?
How you doing?
Good, buddy. All right, I got a couple left here. You ready?
Yep.
All right, let's go with this. Hempenent. Hempenent. Yeah, noun. It's any coattail, cuff, or dress hem dangling outside of a car door of a moving vehicle.
Hem?
Hempenent.
Hempenent, yes. All right, so Gertrude didn't realize that the man waving his penis was simply trying to alert her of his hempenent hanging out from the car door.
Okay, I'm going to go with H-Y-M-P-O-N-A-T.
No, you missed a lot of letters.
You made it more religious.
Sorry about that. Incorrect. How would you spell that, Steve?
Hempenent. I would do H-E-M. P-O-N-E-N-T.
No, it's H-E-M-P-A-N-N-A-N-T. Hempenent.
What is the joining of the words?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of these are sniglets. I didn't make them up myself. No. So they're stolen from Rich Hall. All right, let's see if we can get another caller on the line and give something away. I'm going to go to Chris. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
All right, Chris. It's not even a word. We're going to try this out on you. And this is the last one?
Like two more.
All right, two more. All right, here.
So the last one and then another last one.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the last one, then we'll do the last one after that. Let's go with this one, slack jam. All right, slack jam is a noun. It's a condition of being trapped in one's own trousers while trying to pull them on without first removing their shoes. Slack jam. The police were already on top of Mbutu the moment he realized that he was in a slack jam. All right, Chris, spell it.
S-L-A-C-K-J-A-M.
That's correct. Slack jam is correct. All right, and Case, what are we going to give
them? All right, Chris, you have our final $50 Dunkin' gift card.
Nice job, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Thank
all right,
you.
Hang on a second. And then we'll do one last one, and this will go to, we'll try Dave out. Hey, Dave, how you doing? Dave, how you doing? There's a chicken for you.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Thank good. You. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Your word is Keurigaburp. All right, Keurigaburp is a noun. It's the final gasp that a Keurig makes to alert you that your coffee is ready. Penelope's eyes finally came to life as she heard the sweet sound of the Keurigaburp. How do you spell Keurigaburp?
I'm going to try Keurigaburp.
You missed one letter. It was an A instead of an O. But, man, you spelled Keurig right. I wouldn't have been able to do that correctly. So
I had to get something.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks anyway, man. I appreciate it. The Keurig. Do you make Keurig coffee at
yes,
home?
Yes, yeah, huh? Yeah.
And right before it's done, it does it.
Yep.
That mine is goes, Keurig.
Oh, dear God. Oh, God. I'm going to make coffee. Oh.
All right. And there you go. That's not even a word.
Yes!
Thank you very much for playing along, and we appreciate it. We should take a quick break, but not before. Do I have another one of these?
No, you gave one to that loser.
Okay, so I don't have any more Dunkin' gift cards to give away, but I do want to remind you that Friday, June 7th, Dunkin' is celebrating National Donut Day by giving you the perfect excuse to dunk out for donuts, I'm sorry. grab a free donut with any beverage purchase, and Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Participation may vary, limited time offer, and that is while supplies last. We're going to take another break. We'll come back in a second. I have bizarre file stories yet again ready to go for you, and we have an old friend who's stopping by the studio to promote an event that is coming up, and we'll have him in here in just a moment. We'll return in a second. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thanks a bunch, Kath. I got some stories from the Bizarre File, and I'm ready to present them to you now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we'll begin with this one. With no training or certification, a woman who worked as a nurse for 20 years has turned out not to be a nurse at all.
Oh, no.
Hey, that's funny.
According to Quebec's Order of Nurses, the order said this week that it was looking into the case. The woman, whose identity has not been revealed, worked in several different departments in the hospital, including the surgery. She had been using the license number of another accredited nurse who has the same name and also works in the region.
Well, how difficult is that stuff?
Another employee with the Regional Health Board became suspicious when the woman tried signing up for a training course earlier this spring. The license number that she was using showed a different place of employment than the hospital. The suspicions led to an internal investigation, and soon after, the woman's firing. And I don't think they've seen any issues of impropriety as far as mistreatment of you know, not doing her job.
Right. She apparently was pretty good, but she the one red flag was she checked a guy into the maternity ward.
Oh,
and that's when they became suspicious.
It all fell apart after that. A man's fall from a moped caused him much stranger trouble than anyone could have imagined. According to his doctors, a bruise near his genitals left him with a days-long erection, one that eventually required a trip to the emergency room to treat.
Myself a motorcycle.
Thankfully, doctors were able to resolve his awkward complication, and the patient had no long-lasting damage. But the bizarre tale was described by the UK doctors who treated the man. The 35-year-old man had fallen off his moped 9 days before his visit to the ER. At first, he only seemed to have a bruised perineum, the area between the genitals and anus that is commonly known as the taint. Before long, though, the man developed an erection that lasted far, far more than 4 hours. While the erection itself wasn't painful and there were no other symptoms, he did have to deal with the mild discomfort on walking.
Look, he's got a boner.
That was the doctor who was giving the diagnosis.
Was that
diagnosis again, Casey?
Oh, yeah.
Look, he's got a boner.
Once it...
You have a massive erection.
That was the nurse.
Once at the ER, he was classified as having a grade 4 erection. You ever heard of that?
Grade 4 erection?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a grade 4 erection. The highest tally on the erection hardness score, which is a real thing.
So if this is England, it's the highest tally on the tallywhacker scale.
Even among cases of unwanted stiffness, though, the man's situation was unusual. Yes?
It's very similar to the tornado scale, isn't it?
The Fujita scale?
Yeah, the Fujita scale.
Around 95% that lasts too long, a condition called priapism, involve a blockage of blood vessels directly connected to the penis.
But wow.
This type called low-flow priapism basically means that it is caused by blood that can't leave the genitals as normal. Most cases of low-flow priapism are unexplained, but erectile dysfunction, drugs, and neurological conditions are common causes. The man, however, had high-flow priapism, meaning that blood wouldn't stop rushing to his area. As with his case, this type usually happens when the blood vessels surrounding the genitals are injured and ruptured through physical trauma, and that's what happened to this guy.
Not that this is in the story, but just in case it is, was it sensitive? Was his junk pained?
I don't know. The physical trauma created a pooling of blood in the area and two fistulas on the left and right side of his genitals.
Mm.
The man opted for a more aggressive procedure using a catheter to carefully pick out the arteries directly feeding it. And the doctors created their own blood clots near each fistula. For one fistula, they use a gel-like foam that breaks down on its own within 4 to 6 weeks. For the other, they used a microcoil, specifically designed to block a single blood vessel. Soon after, the man's condition improved, though it took a while for him to fully recover the use of his unit. When they checked on him a year later, he reported having completely normal erectile function.
And all because of a bruise on the taint.
That's what happened, yeah.
Wow.
I'm most interested now in the grades of erection because, like, what's the highest? Is, like, grade 5? Like,
I think you get a gold watch.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll have to
look. I'm not talking about, like, awards, but...
Yeah. So what's... Yeah.
Who's Nick, look
up the
guy?
Look up the erection hardness score, if
it's
you
like
would.
It's like the ohm scale on minerals, right?
Oh, there we go. Okay.
It only goes up to 4.
Up to 4.
Okay. So,
yeah. Okay.
Well, as of we know now, I mean, there could be innovations that lead to more numbers.
Mm. When police attended the scene after Robert Shapley had crashed his car, he claimed that he had lost control of his vehicle due to a sudden attack of sea creatures. Ooh. Officers said that he was incoherent and mumbled to them about having seen whitebait, octopus, and other marine creatures on the road.
On the road.
He also pretended to be reading an imaginary book about hedgehogs. Shapley told them, it got a bit bumpy for a while. I swerved to avoid an octopus, and it's pretty bad out there having to dodge all that white bait.
Isn't the highway department supposed to take care of that?
Officers said they found no evidence of an octopus on the road. In fact,
they went looking.
Shapley was under the influence of a prodigious amount of drugs, including morphine, codeine, cannabis, and a byproduct of heroin. His car ended up on its roof in a ditch. Police put him in one of their cars before he was checked over by paramedics. He continued to talk to the officers. He was talking about the squid, octopus, and other sea creatures. And he later pretended to be reading an imaginary book about hedgehogs. So they arrested him, as you can imagine. All right, and then we'll do one more story and we will wrap it up. And we haven't talked about a Florida man all morning, so we got to do that. A Florida man is facing manslaughter charges, accused of accidentally and fatally shooting a woman during a sex act on Sunday. Andrew Chenault shot a woman in her 20s in the upper body with his registered handgun about 12:30 p.m.
I'm going to shoot.
The shooting occurred at his home. The woman, whose identity was not revealed, was taken to the hospital where she later died. He was charged with manslaughter with a weapon on Friday. So it apparently happened accidentally.
Were they playing some sort of kinky...
They didn't indicate.
Russian roulette sex kind of game?
Or maybe it was just laying on the bed and they were... I don't really know.
I always take my firearms off the bed.
Kind of weird. Yeah. And there you go. That's what I have. From Florida Man.
Florida Man.
Man, Florida Man.
And that's what I have in the bizarre file. Hey, we need to take a break, and as we do so, I would like to give away some movie screening passes. We have the screening of Dark Phoenix at the UA King of Prussia. It's on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. You'll need to be there by 7, so we'll take 7 callers. Why not? 215-263-WMMR, and we will put you on our list for that movie on Wednesday in King of Prussia. We'll come back in a moment. The person I told you about we were going to meet with, we're going to meet with them next.
Yeah.
That's coming up next, as well as trash and music news, so stay with us.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks, proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bike-A-Thon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Join me in the fight against cancer and ride with Team WMMR in the American Cancer Society Bike-A-Thon. The ride is Sunday, June 9th. This family-friendly biking event is a blast and starts off with you riding your bike over the Ben Franklin Bridge, and then we all end up together on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. There are also a few starting points in New Jersey for a shorter ride. You don't feel like doing the full 66.6. Each Team WMMR rider gets the free team t-shirt. Registration and complete details at WMMR.com. If riding isn't your thing, you can also pay it forward as a volunteer. All the details, WMMR.com.
The ACS Bike-A-Thon. Another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
And we have a number of things that are going on this week. We'll get to all of them in due time. One of them, by the way, today, your chore to vote for the coolest teacher of the year at Abington High School. And whoever that may be, we need to hear about it. Text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. Get one vote per phone number. We had Rob Bigley from Henderson High School win today. We'll see who is going to take it from Abington tomorrow morning as we continue that. Before we get to the lesson question and trash and music news and all that, we have a friend who is here this morning in our studio, and we just wanted to say, hey! Wait, why is your... Oh, you're on the wrong damn microphone.
Oh, sorry, I'm on... There we go. Hey! There you go. Sorry, I went on the wrong microphone. It's been a while.
This is the pituation, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. How you guys doing?
Good. Is our former intern, Rich, who we dubbed as the pituation because, well, at the time, hey! Jersey Shore was still on. And instead of the situation, he was the pituation because his voice would change pitch from time to time and go up really, really high. It would crack and stay cracked.
Yeah, and I wouldn't realize it. So you guys would just riff, and it was great. Great fodder.
Yes, it was great fodder, may I say.
Yes. Excellent good times, good sir. I don't know why I went into that. Why do I do that?
See, your voice goes right up again.
Something's never changed.
I know. It's the best. And in fact, we should play this. Yeah. One of our favorite moments, we were at the Cardboard Classic, and Pitch was out somewhere. I guess, were we having you ride up with Jackie?
Yes, this was a hitchhiking competition.
Right. We should have called it pitch hiking. I didn't even think of that. And we were checking in as he was trying to hitchhike and get rides up from Bala Cynwyd to Jack Frost. And one time we checked in with him, and we got this phone call. Here it was.
Hey, yo. You know, I don't want to bring up part of my Rocky impersonation, which is really bad now that I'm hearing myself. All right, never mind.
did we lose the beginning of that?
I think I cut it off.
Because I go, hey, yo.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. You know, I don't want to bring up part of my Rocky impersonation, which is really bad now that I'm hearing myself. All right, never mind.
Yes. Just immediately you had something to riff. It was amazing.
Yes. You know, I just ran with it.
Hey, yo. Are you hurry?
Hey. I'm Rocky Balboa, boxer.
Boxer extraordinaire.
I love you, Steve. You make every morning here so much brighter.
That one's even more iconic.
That is absolutely the highest pitch that he's achieved.
Super excitement. But I think that might have been a 4 on that scale you had earlier.
He's having a good time.
I just want to let him.
There you go.
Let him laugh for a little while. Now, you're here for a reason, charity reason, right?
That's right.
It's an annual reason now. And
yes.
Very successful.
Yes. We're getting a little bit of a following here with the 24-hour game show marathon.
Mm. All right. And how many years now?
This is the 8th year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's been that long?
Yeah.
Wow. Uh-huh. Okay. And tell us, number one, who benefits from this? What organization?
So the charity is called Child's Play.
Okay.
And they simply put, they provide toys and video games and VR headsets to children that are in hospitals and shelters throughout the country.
Wonderful.
It's one of those charities you can't say no to. It's,
right.
It's just... It just 100% good work that they're doing.
Yep. And so every year you guys, you and friends get together and you do this 24-hour game show marathon where you literally play all these game shows. In fact, you can set it up better than I can. How does it work?
Yes. So every hour during the broadcast, we play a game show. And we broadcast the whole thing online on Twitch on our website, gameshowmarathon.com. And we get a font. We have people watch us and see how crazy and wacky we get go through each game shows.
These are iconic game shows that you're playing. So everyone's familiar with the rules and you just go from one to the other to the other.
Correct. Yes.
So rattle off a few of the titles of games that you guys will play.
Okay. So obviously we got your mainstays, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, Deal or No Deal, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. We have some other specific ones too. That we're going to do this year, like Sail the Century. Personally, I can't wait for this one. We're doing a spinoff off of Win Benstein's Money on Comedy Central.
Yeah, God, I used to love that show.
We're bringing in a Jeopardy champion who's going to be the expert, who's going to be our Ben Stein.
That's great.
And we're calling it Win Dave Mattingly's Money.
That's great.
And yeah, he's going to do. He was actually a 3-day Jeopardy champion.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he takes on the role of being our Ben Stein.
Okay.
And there's you guys have some good production on this, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're literally game show fanatics. Three of our crew run a website called Buzzer Blog, which is like an insider game show blog that they get information and everything. So they get access to the fonts, the sound effects. My friend Corey Anatato does the software. It is an amazing presentation. I'm blown away every year at how well we pull off a faithful reproduction of these game shows.
Sorry. And it's coming up this weekend, right?
Yes, it's this weekend. It's already here.
Awesome.
We start June 8th at noon. I think I'm first, actually. I think I'm hosting the first game show.
Which is what?
Which is Wheel of Fortune. And then we go 24 hours straight until noon on Sunday. The finale is always Deal or No Deal. We do it's always been our tradition. We end with Deal or No Deal.
Cool. So are you like a green screening the sets in, or what are you doing?
So we have a projector that handles all of the fonts and the displays and everything like that. But we also display that alongside our web presentation. So it's great. We have two cameras that go over what's going on in where we're in the studio and what we're and what's actually being presented to the players and the game show host at the time and everything.
Okay.
Like that. So it's great. You get to see everything.
Nice. And how do people end up donating for this, and how does the charity make money through this event?
So you go to gameshowmarathon.com and you click donate now, and there's a simple process that links you up right to Child's Play. It's all tax deductible. It's all legit, and it works beautifully. Last two years we've hit $7,000 a piece, which is mind-blowingly staggering to me, because this started out as just like kind of like a weird, you know.
Yeah, you just made a few $100 if I remember that first year.
Yeah.
You know?
And now we got sponsors. Like, I'm like, I actually have to do work? Like, this is crazy.
Hey, so you're going to host one of the games. Are you also a contestant in some of the games?
Yes. Okay. So we cycle in and out, and the idea is that one of our main four stars are always either hosting the game shows or participating in them or something like that.
Okay. Well, I think it sounds like a really fun. If it wasn't 24 hours, I wouldn't mind doing something like that. I'd be exhausted by the end of it.
You don't have to do all of it. We could have you on for one or two if you'd like.
Where do you do this?
So this is another big development. This year, we got to give props to LaSalle University. They have graciously offered their communication center for us to record in this year.
Wow, well, there you go. Cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. So I feel like just every year it's been like a new step that we've been trying to bump up with the marathons. It's been great.
It's a great thing. And the fact that it's grown as exponentially as it has is a testament to all the work you guys are putting into it. It's
so
really cool.
Gameshowmarathon.com. It says Saturday. It's from noon to noon. So
literally, you can tune in at 1 in the morning and you'll see us be half asleep and like, oh my gosh, how are we going to play this game show?
Nice. Now, Pitch also worked. You worked for the MM Army for a while, too.
Oh, I'm still part of it. Yeah.
Are you still doing that?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is that why I saw you at the MM Barbecue?
Of course.
You were working. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So you'll be out at appearances from time to time.
Yeah, that's why whenever you hear the MM Army's coming out and about, go to the events. You never know. You might see me.
Just
hey!
Listen.
Hey! Yeah,
just listen for the squeaking.
Yeah. You hear the squeaking? Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. I want to talk to Pitch some more. I love having you on.
Can I tease something else, too, since I love you guys? Okay.
No, actually, go ahead.
Since we do have people inside Buzzer Blog, I literally got a text 5 minutes before we got in here. They said tonight's episode of Jeopardy is very, very, very important.
Uh-oh.
Yes, something big happens tonight.
Interesting.
Who told you this?
The insiders at Buzzer Blog.
Well, it's Buzzer Blog.
It's actually out. It's been tipped out in a couple. I didn't want to. And we're not.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, it's a
Let's just say if you've been following along and you're enjoying the storyline, you might want to tune in tonight.
Yes, exactly. So I thought it was kind of a coincidence that here I am promoting Game Show Marathon, and there's a big news story that came out.
So I guess the dude loses.
Or he passes
Ken Jennings. He could break the record.
He's within $60,000.
Oh, well, then that's probably what it is.
It's either one or two.
Okay, hey. One of two things. Nonetheless, it's been great to watch anyhow.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, how appropriate.
Right. Cool, man. All right, well, good luck with this event. I hope it's a record breaker for you guys.
I hope so, too. Thank you.
And we'll see you very, very soon, okay?
Yeah! All right, thank you.
Pituation, guys.
Oh, boy!
I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh, boy!
Ah, bye. There's a new one from them. All right. Yeah, can you sing along to this? Now, do you know what theme this is?
It sounds like Card Sharks with a clap. Is it? No, what is it? What is it?
Tic-tac-toe.
Tic-tac-toe! Oh!
Will you guys play that one?
Actually, I don't think we've had yet that one.
All right, consider that for next
year.
Right,
pressing recommendation. We're going to do it.
Thank you, Pituation.
Thank you!
We're going to do the lesson question for today, and we are going to be giving away a pair of tickets for a live taping of the Comic Book Gurus podcast, Franklin Institute, hosted by Steve Morrison. And it is coming up on June 13th. It's a Thursday at 6 p.m. The question that... that we are going to ask this morning is, no child should ever have to see their father's what? 215-263-WMMR.
It's true.
All right. No child should ever have to see their father's what? 215-263-WMMR. I need a specific answer on this to see if you got it. And we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by A.D. Moyer. A.D. Moyer Lumber is celebrating 80 years of supplying quality building materials and service. Four generations, one family, one commitment. You can learn more at admoyer.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, just 3 months after Nicolas Cage and Erica Coyle Koike tied the knot. The two are now officially divorced. Koike says that despite the split, there were good times, like last Tuesday around 3 p.m. A Khloe Kardashian superfan named Narbe had his dream come true when she agreed to be his date to the Hoover High School prom in Glendale. The magical evening ended with the two performing The Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing, during which Khloe hoisted Narbe over her head.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Ric Flair revealing to TMZ Sports that he underwent surgery to receive a pacemaker and is doing fantastically well. Amazingly, because of Flair's energetic style, surgeons turned his left nipple into a dial, which he can increase when he wants to yell, woo!
Nice.
And that's your Hollywood Track.
All right. Let's go to the phones and see if we can get an answer to this. No child should ever have to see their father's what? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And our first caller in was Mike. So let's go to him. Hey, Mike.
Nick McElwain.
I got you. All right, Mike, do me a favor. Tell me what no child should ever have to see their father's what?
Butthole.
Yeah! Hang on, Mike. For you, we have a pair of tickets for a live taping of the Comic Book Gurus podcast, Franklin Institute, hosted by Mr. Steve Morrison. Thursday, June 13th at 6 p.m. And after the podcast, you get to tour the exhibit, Marvel Universe of Superheroes. And you can explore Marvel's legacy through immersive set pieces, original artwork, movie props, costumes, and other rare materials. Now open at the Franklin Institute. Tickets and information at fi.edu.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Yay! Hi, there's Pitch. Brought to you this morning by Deaton Watson, Real Philly Deli. If you want a real Philly hoagie, You have to go to a Real Philly Deli. Deaton Watson created the Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide, your map to the most delicious hoagies in the city. Earn prizes like T-shirts, coolers, food, and even tickets to see the birds play just for eating Real Philly Hoagies. We'll start with this. Blink-182 fans shouldn't hold their breath for a reunion with guitarist Tom DeLonge that the latter keeps talking about. While doing an interview recently, Blink bassist Mark Hoppus firmly denied that any such event is in the works, saying there is not any talk of that right now. And, I mean, I'll never say never to anything, but that's a completely unfounded rumor at this point. Seems that DeLonge, who left the band in 2015, started the rumor himself, telling Kerrang! Magazine, "I love Blink-182. It's given me everything in my life, and, you know, I plan on doing it in the future." He also claimed in an interview later on, "I will play with Blink again. We're always discussing what makes sense and when." Blink is putting the finishing touches on its new album as we speak. Shinedown has released an EP titled Get Up, and it features a new acoustic version of the band's hit crossover anthem Get Up, along with the original song and the recently released piano version. Brent Smith said about the EP, "Get Up is a song about empathy. It's a song about not being afraid to fail. It's a song about inspiring others. And now we want you to hear the song as it began." So a few different
versions. It's a great song.
Of that are available. Seether plans to begin recording the follow-up to 2017's Poison the Parish LP for a tentative early 2020 release. Drummer John Humphrey said that we'd been home since holidays, kind of recharging our batteries. We've done a couple of shows, and we'll go in at the end of the summer and early fall and track a new album. He said we've got some material brewing. Sean sending out demos to everybody to kind of get prepared. And, yeah, we'll head into the studio here pretty soon and start tracking new stuff, he said. Avenged Sevenfold is auctioning off 20 pieces of gear and memorabilia through the band's newly launched shop at the Reverb site. All proceeds raised from the sale of the items will go to Notes for Notes, a nonprofit that builds, equips, and staffs after-school recording studios inside Boys and Girls Clubs. Among the items on the block are a Schecter Sinister Gates guitar, Zildjian custom cymbals played on stage by Brooks Wackerman, a Sunburst Schecter Johnny Christ signature bass, and more.
That's pretty cool.
Three of the five surviving members of Linkin Park recently got together, sharing photos of the meetup on Instagram. Singer Mike Shinoda posted a photo of himself, DJ Joseph Hahn, and drummer Rob Borden, writing, "So grateful to have met my idols and biggest influences." And, of course, they're from Linkin Park. So it's an interesting, you know, get-together. Obviously, they're not together that often anymore.
Yeah, they're not.
Chester died. And then one last story. In November, U2 will hit the road behind their 1987 groundbreaking album, The Joshua Tree, with stadium dates on the books. Nowhere in the U.S. They're going to be in New Zealand, Australia, Japan, and for the first time ever, Singapore and South Korea.
"We're coming, Singapore. We're coming to you to sing songs that'll inspire you from the Joshua Tree." Why do I have reverb?
U2's The Joshua Tree 2017 tour played 51 shows in North America, Europe, and Latin America. Since then, the band has embarked on its 2018 Experience and Innocence tour, which played 60 shows across North America and Europe. Bono said in the official tour announcement, "It's only taken me 30 years to learn how to sing these songs, and it's great to be able to say that I've finally caught up with the band. Our audience has given the Joshua Tree a whole new life on this tour. During these shows has been very special for us. A lot of emotion, from despair of how relevant some of the dark songs still are to the joy, pure fun of the staging," he said. "It's quite a ride."
I know you guys are all huge fans of U2. Are you familiar with the Rattle and Hum album?
Yes.
All right. So
absolutely. It's wonderful.
All right. So do you know a song on there? It's a short song, Freedom, but it's not U2.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like it sounds like an older person playing just a guitar, and it's... Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a documentary about that guy right now.
What's his name?
Well, he goes by the name Satan, but his real name is Sterling McGee. And so there's a movie on Netflix, a documentary called Satan and Adam. It's just about this guy named Adam who is a grad student in Columbia. And this guy Satan is just a street musician who's playing in Harlem. And Adam's like, "Hey, can I jump in with you real quick?" And plays the harmonica with them, and then he comes back the next day, and then next thing you know, they're like, they go out on tour and stuff. But when
how did Bono find him?
So it was actually The Edge who found them when they were filming Rattle and Hum. They just ended up in Harlem, and they see these two guys. And really, I mean, this guy Satan is he's the real...
He's not the real Satan.
He's not the real Satan. Yeah. He just gives himself the name Satan. His name's Sterling McGee. But, you know, he's the real star of the band. But it was really interesting. And I ended up falling asleep. So I still have to finish watching it.
So interesting, you fell asleep.
Well, I was late at night.
Critics are raving. So interesting, I fell asleep.
I think you would get a real kick out of it. Because as it turns out, this guy Sterling McGee is like, he played with the greats.
Really?
Yes. I mean, you know, all of the greats, you know, of the time, you know, like James Brown and all that sort of stuff. Hmm. And then he just...
Fell on hard times?
Well, yeah. I mean, because the music industry sort of fell on hard times, and he just, like, took it to the street, and that's how he made his living for the longest time. And then this guy, Adam, just finds him out of nowhere, and then they had, like, a major resurgence.
See you today, and try not falling asleep.
What's it called again, Case?
Satan and Adam.
Satan and Adam. Okay, and how did you stumble across it?
I was looking for something to fall asleep to on Netflix last night.
Turn to Netflix. What's good to fall asleep to?
But I ended up staying awake a lot longer than I had planned on it.
Spot on. If you really need to fall asleep, may I recommend a documentary called Satan and Adam? It's a lot like Lilo and Stitch.
It is really good, though. Like, I will finish it today.
Okay.
Most people will finish it eventually.
Yeah.
And there's no better testament to a movie than people saying, I'll wait later to finish this.
Bono, by the way, went on to say about the Joshua Tree tour, now we get to do it all over again. Auckland, Brisbane, Melbourne, Adelaide, Perth, Sydney, Tokyo.
We love it.
Singapore, Seoul, we're coming for you.
Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah. And The Edge went on to add, we really, really wanted to bring the Joshua Tree to New Zealand, Australia, and Asia. We promised we would. And finally, now we can say that we will see you in November. It's going to feel like a homecoming, and we're very excited.
Let me ask you a question. Hmm. Besides the Joshua Tree, what do you think would be the next U2 album? If they do an album in total.
Octung Baby would be pretty
Octung
awesome.
Baby.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really, really good record. So
it's fairly hit-packed, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. I don't remember what all is on it. Mysterious Ways is definitely on there, but I've forgotten what else was on it. But
Satan and Alley.
I remember that being a pretty big record.
Oh, that was Kate and Alley. I'm sorry.
It's an underrated record. I mean, One is on there, So Cruel, The Fly.
Satan's Alley.
Satan's Alley. Yeah. That Narrow.
That's
Staying Alive.
From Staying Alive,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's Satan's Alley.
The routine.
The name of the musical is Satan's Alley.
What were you going to say, Nick? I'm sorry.
I was just listening to some of the songs on there. I mean, who's going to Ride Your Wild Horses is on there.
It's great song.
It sort of pales because it came one or two albums after Joshua Tree, so people compared it to Joshua Tree, which is unfair. Mm. Joshua Tree is probably one of the best albums of all time, especially if you're a U2 fan. But Octung Baby's a great record.
All right. And that is what I have for you in music news, other than Free Music Monday.
Thank
you, Casey. Almost forgot about that. I have a chance for you to win the 25th anniversary reissue of Pink Floyd's album, The Division Bell, on vinyl. And we can take caller number, let's take caller number 16.
That's a great number.
At 215. Thank you. 215-263-WMMR. The double album is printed on translucent blue vinyl, just like the original limited edition release. So call the 16. It's out this Friday from Sony Music, 215-263-WMMR. One more break to take. We'll come back in a moment. Get ready to wrap things up.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Talking Heads on 93.3 WMMR. It's everything that rocks. Today's radio program has been brought to you by Monday in all its glory. And I think we made our way through it successfully.
Oh, weather-wise and everything, it's kind of a nice spring day. Mm-hmm. It's a good day. It's a good Monday.
I would agree. 72 degrees are high. A little breeze, so it's going to feel a bit cool. But you know what? That's kind of nice. That's not too bad at all. Thank you to the only person that we had on the show this morning was Pituation.
Yes.
And I want to thank Pitch for coming by. And they have the game show marathon coming up on Saturday. It's a 24-hour thing and a lot of fun. These guys play a different game show every hour for 24 hours. And the organization that it benefits is really great. It makes sure that kids who need some entertainment, kids in hospitals can get video games and all that stuff. So
yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's really neat. So it's called Child's Play. So thank you to Pitch. We'll have that information on PrestonandSteve.com if you need to find out all that. But that's it. Guest-wise, it was just us.
It was just incredibly good conversation.
The rest of the program. It was fun conversation.
It was.
Pierre Robert is back from a weekend. He's ready to return in the saddle again and take you through your Monday. How you doing, man?
Good hoss.
Excellent.
Good hoss.
Yeah.
A little Bonanza reference.
A little saddle.
Well, he said saddle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Made me think of Westerns. Matt Dillon.
Something sounds wrong with that microphone, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm a little...
It does sound weird.
I'm a little higher.
Okay. Can you move it up? I just want to make
How
sure.
How about now?
That's there you okay. go.
He's new to this.
All right. Nobody walked you through
I've never done this before.
The mic technique.
Is this... What's this foam thing?
Listen, at the ballpark this weekend, I hosted an event. It's the Take Steps Crohn's and Colitis Foundation Walk. And when you're on a microphone in a stadium, if you don't know how to do it, it's a little bit difficult because there's an echo. And this kid, he was great. He was one of our warriors, one of our heroes that came up. His name was Titus. I think he's 10 years old. And I hand him the microphone. He's going to get up and tell everybody his story. And there's several thousand people that are there. And he starts to speak, and it starts to come out like the sound jammer.
The delay, yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, he's going to... But he after a while, he got into a rhythm, and he figured it out. Because sometimes you'll stretch out your words when it's like this.
Ready for love.
Yeah, yeah. But he ended up doing a great job. It was a lot of fun. So, mic technique. And listen, I'm going to offer this advice to you folks since we have a moment to talk about microphones. I forgot where I was recently. I was at a charity event. No, I was at a wedding. And when people make speeches who are not used to being on microphones, I know it doesn't feel normal to you, but get very close to the microphone.
Very important.
If you can. Some people hold it down by their waist.
Yep.
And so then the person running the sound has to compensate by turning it up. And that's when you get the woo, when you get the the feedback. So if you ever find yourself in a situation, just remember what Preston said. Get very close to the microphone.
You'll be glad you did.
You'll do a wonderful job.
However, there is such a thing as getting too close to the microphone.
Eating the microphone.
I rarely see that.
Distorting.
Yeah. True. Yes, it will overmodulate.
Yeah. Because a lot of those wedding mics aren't built for Freddie Mercury.
So hold it close, but don't hold it close.
Well, close, but not too close.
No. And you don't have to yell. If you're holding it close, you don't have to yell.
Yelling is not necessary almost at any time on any microphone, even professional microphones. A lot of DJs, when they go to introduce a band who haven't been doing it for a while, they'll yell, "Yo, it's a great time here." And going, you didn't need to do that.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that, too.
No, I know, but I
so
know
many
it's...
So people are there, you know.
No, you get excited. Yeah. I don't mean an elevated present to avoid an elevated presentation. But I've known a few, this was some time ago, that would get up and just yell. And it would just come out as...
I think if you're going to have a conversation with somebody, the best thing to do is to rest your nose on their cheek as you're speaking to them.
Like Jackie Bam Bam?
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gives you good distance.
Well, there was the MM Barbecue a couple of years ago, and I forget which rock person he was talking to. But he was bent over with his peak of his nose, and his nose was almost in this guy's face. And I actually went over and pulled him back.
Yes.
I arched him back just about a half a foot.
You're giving this guy nose burns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he didn't even respond, so he was quite fine.
Didn't even realize it. He's like, there's a scene in Despicable Me with Gru, and he's doing it with his giant nose. he's like a cartoon.
But he's a lovable cartoon.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. As is Gru.
Oh, I thought you meant Jackie.
No, they're both.
Yeah. Jackie's both. A lovable cartoon.
He is, absolutely.
Very lovable. All
right. Well, we need to get the letter of the day. You want to move forward with that?
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
Let's do J as in Jackie Bam Bam.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. All right, that's letter number 1 of 5. We are going to give away 4 Hershey Park tickets and an overnight stay for 4. Every Hershey Park ticket is packed with more than 70 attractions, including 14 coasters, an entire water park,
wow,
and the all-new interactive gaming ride. It's called Reese's Cup Fusion. And you can save on tickets at HersheyPark.com. Hershey Park, happiness is best when shared. So we will give that away on Friday. What's in store for the show today, Pierre?
We, by the way, we'll play our Duff McKagan session back on Wednesday at, I think, 2 p.m. So stand by for that. But we'll, like you did, have a 25th anniversary Pink Floyd Division Bell on translucent blue vinyl. I've got to see if I can get one of these in advance and play it for our vinyl cut some point this week. Nice. I just love colored vinyl. So that's a really cool gift that we have to give away. I have another gift, which is cool. Tickets for Dave Matthews Band, the June 15th show. They're there the 14th and 15th. I'll have Hailstorm Workforce Blocks and Blink 182. Blocks, and it's Ian Hunter's birthday, the great large glassed, he has these giant glasses that he always wears, and the big blonde kind of afro from Ian Hunter, Mott the Hoople, all the great songs he's made, so we'll do a combined Mott-Ian block as well.
I love it. Thank you very much, Pierre. And I want to thank our sponsors. Preston Steve Show has been brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport.
Oh, also, yes.
Sorry, finish what you're doing.
Armor Metals and Recycling for all your metal and computer recycling needs. And West Virginia Tourism. It draws you in. It pulls you back. It is pure and unspoiled West Virginia almost heaven. And Chorus Photography, the official photographers of the Preston and Steve Show. Yes, sir.
We also heard it's leave work early today.
Oh, leave work early today?
Yeah.
Wow.
Leave work early today day.
Oh, I like the sound of that. All right. Excellent. All right. Well, please do so. Tomorrow on our program, Vanessa Bayer from Saturday Night Live will be getting in touch with us. We have a Tattoo Tuesday taking place, and our good friend Doug Benson is checking in. So we got some good times ahead tomorrow. That's it. We are done. Rage on, and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
If it's my job to fix things for you, and you don't tell me that they're broken until they're so f***ed that they can't be fixed, whose fault is that? I'm done with this.
Next message.
He was a young broadcaster losing part of his laugh and scream until a young therapist came into his life. Hi, I'm Kathy Romano.
Next message.
Oh, man, I love this. What beautiful weather. It's a great week ahead. Bees!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.